Follow the Light Northwest by Type 40 Deductions. Read by X-Man Hater. Summary. Wei Ying works through how he feels about his body and what that means for his relationship with Lan Chen. As it turns out, mostly good things. They are having what Wei Ying refers to as a kink confab, and what Lan Chen refers to as nothing at all, usually just quietly says, "Wei Ying, may I talk to you about something?" And 9 times out of 10, it's about sex, because if he wants to talk about anything else, he just goes ahead and says it. Sometimes Lan Chen makes them sit facing each other when he thinks what he's about to say is risky and he wants to watch Wei Ying's face while he says it. But mostly they talk like this, Wei Ying laid on top of Lan Chen, his arms wrapped gently around Wei Ying, and Wei Ying chewing on the charm on Lan Chen's necklace, the metal cold and clanging against his teeth, solid. It's easier for Wei Ying to think things through like this, with Lan Chen's body all laid out under him, real and touchable, and to think about how that body could do other things, the shape of what that would look like. Lan Chen, he lets the charm drop from his mouth and it lands damply on Lan Chen's shirt. Oops. Lan Chen, when we're married, he pauses so that Lan Chen will say, "Hmm," softly affirmative, and he can wiggle in delight. They're not properly engaged, because the minute they become properly engaged, they will be forced to tell their families, and then the wedding gears will slot into place. And maybe they want a little bit more time before that happens. Also, Wei Ying had said, "When we're married," first, with little to no thought behind it, just slipping out, and Lan Chen had kissed him very hard, and then made it very clear that there would be a proper proposal, and that Wei Ying would have no doubts about what it looked like when he was being officially proposed to. And then they'd had sex about it. So Wei Ying has kept saying it, because he likes to. He likes to think in wins. As if he can cling on to Lan Chan's certainties if he tries hard enough. "When we get married," Lan Chen prompts, and Wei Ying startles against his chest. "Yes, yes, sorry. When we get married, I'll be your husband, right? We'll be husbands."
"Hmm, if that is what you want."
"I do want. I do. What if I don't want to be your husband all the time, though?"
Lan Chen stiffens slightly, and Wei Ying realizes how that sounds.
"No, no, baby, no. I don't mean, like, what if I want to stop being married to you sometimes. I mean, what if I wanted to be your wife sometimes? Or your spouse? Oh, wow, that is truly the worst word. Holy shit, it sounds like a portmanteau for spurious mouse."
"Special mouse," Lan Chen offers.
"No, don't try and make it cute. That just sounds like a drug, or weirdly patronizing." "Okay, whatever, a better word than spouse is. Fuck the English language. Banlu, Ziji."
"Yes,"
Lan Chen says fervently and kisses Wei Ying's forehead, which is the only part of him he can really reach. Wei Ying moves obligingly so that Lan Chen can kiss him properly, deep and slow. He draws back after a moment and Wei Ying whines.
You can be whatever you like, my Wei Ying."
He pauses, circles his fingers against Wei Ying's back.
"Do you mean in bed or just generally?"
Just generally?
It's embarrassing because Wei Ying had told Lan Chen very adamantly that he was just having fun. Fun with gender, in bed, which was normal and very sexy and made Wei Ying feel liquid, spreading out across the states, liminal and endless. But also last week, Huai Song had made him wear their dress while they pinned the hem, and Wei Ying had looked across at himself in the mirror and felt, well, okay, a little sexy, but mostly just normal. Right. The way he does in bondage trousers and crop tops and in his running shorts and in Lan Chen's two big pajamas, just comfortable and settled. Which, it doesn't have to be a gender thing. Boys can wear dresses and that's fine. It's just fabric. Half of Lan Chen's wardrobe is women's wear. But also, Huai Song had smiled their strange lilting smile and said Wei Ying looked beautiful, and suddenly all Wei Ying had wanted to hear was the word girl following it.
"Then that would also be fine."
Lan Chen rubs his back again, long strokes with his broad palm, until Wei Ying settles back into him. He hadn't even realized he'd tensed up.
"It does not have to wait until we are married, if you do not want it to."
Wei Ying had thought Lan Chen might say that. He'd tried not to think about it, because pushing it off into the nebulous future certainty of when we're married was easier, and less likely to send him into all-consuming paroxysms of fear. All of his thoughts and worries and feelings about it are in a little puddle in the back of his head, liable to splash up at any moment, and he's doing his best not to stomp.
You can think about it some more if you'd like.
It's really the opposite of what Wei Ying would like, but he thinks Lan Chan might be right. Is his therapist equipped for this? She's straight, which is starting to feel like a huge oversight. But it had been hard enough to find an Asian-American therapist in the first place. He hadn't wanted to make it impossible.
I will be here, no matter what you decide.
It's... Wei Ying stops, takes a deep breath. You know how sometimes I want to be a girl in bed, but not always. And sometimes if you use some female-coded language or whatever, it would be really weird and I would hate it. But sometimes it's the best thing. Lan Chan always waits for him to start saying it first when they're playing.
It is good for me also, Lan Chan adds, in case that was a thing Wei Ying was worried about. Which it is, still, a little bit.
It's the same as that, I think. But in a non-sexy way, just in normal life.
That makes sense.
Wei Ying isn't sure it does.
Have you spoken to Huaisong or Xing Chen, perhaps?
Not yet. Wanted to talk to you first. In case Lan Chan had said, what on earth are you talking about? We're gay, you're a dude, what the fuck, Wei Ying? Which, even he has to admit, is not the best example of things Lan Chan is likely to say ever at any point. I'll text them later.
Good. I love you very much.
Lan Chan likes saying it like that, big enough to encompass whatever they've just been talking about. There's still something niggling at Wei Ying, something he sort of thinks should maybe be an issue, but it's hard to grasp, not holding its form properly. And he shakes his head, nosing into Lan Chan's jaw. I love you too.
Lan Chan pauses, his fingers just resting on the bare slither of skin along Wei Ying's back. Wei Ying, can we talk about electrostimulation?
Lan Chan buys the sex toys and Wei Ying buys the groceries. If you'd told 19-year-old Wei Ying, who still believed he could live off instant ramen forever, that this was how his life was going to pan out, he'd have had a heart attack about getting old and boring. Wei Ying kind of wants to slap his 19-year-old self around the head whenever he thinks about it. It's a pretty familiar feeling. As it turns out, he likes it. Likes finding artisanal spices sold by old women in the farmer's market who want to pinch his cheeks. Likes feeling up the vegetables. Likes tending to the herbs on their balcony. And Lan Chan likes spending 6 hours methodically reading every single website review for Violet Wands and feeling very confident he's made the best purchase possible. So it all works out. This morning, though, it's all very simple. Wei Ying wakes to Lan Chan's hand on his ass and his lips on his neck, softly mouthing at the skin there. He doesn't open his eyes, just pushes back into the touch, waits for Lan Chan to adjust them so that Wei Ying is pressed more firmly against his front, their legs tangled, a sweet shock of bare skin. Lan Chan dips his hand beneath Wei Ying's boxers, kneading the muscle of his ass, dipping slightly into the crease, and Wei Ying moans, grinds his dick against Lan Chan's thigh. His eyes are still closed, and even if he misses seeing Lan Chan's sleep-rumpled face, he wants to keep them that way as long as possible. He's still half asleep, still lost in the warm, safe space under the duvet, his body anything he wants it to be, as long as he doesn't have to look at it.
Yeah, good boy.
He murmurs, blindly kissing along Lan Chan's collarbone. Lan Chan doesn't say anything, just tugs Wei Ying's boxers down so that he can get a hand around both their cocks. That's okay. Lan Chan needs to be quiet sometimes, just like Wei Ying needs to be loud. Lan Chan's hand is slick. Did he get lube? Wei Ying hadn't heard anything, but Lan Chan had already been naked when Wei Ying had woken up, so it's entirely possible that Lan Chan had just been touching himself, stroking his cock to the sight of Wei Ying curled up and asleep. He shivers, thinks about what he looks like in the morning, face puffy and all his edges softer, curves to his cheeks that aren't there most of the time. More feminine, perhaps.
Fuck, Lan Chan, your hands are so big. You're so... That's good, baby. Fuck, can you... I want your hands on my tits. Can...
Lan Chan brings his other hand up, smooths it along Wei Ying's chest. Wei Ying doesn't watch it, just imagines the way Lan Chan's fingers curve along the dip of his pecs, the way his nipples stiffen at his touch. imagines the dip deeper, imagines Lan Chan's hand more grasping.
Fuck, fuck, you treat your baby girl so good, do you know that? Lan Chan, gaga, I'm...
Lan Chan's hand speeds up between them, and Wei Ying brings his own hand up to pinch at his chest, digging his fingernails into his areola, and he comes, face mashed against Lan Chan's shoulder, kissing his skin as he bucks through his own release. It's the perfect kind of morning orgasm, soft peaks of pleasure that lead directly back into sleep. And Wei Ying lets the haze wash over him as he kicks off his boxers lazily and wipes them both off, fumbling for Lan Chan's lube-slick hands. He flops back down, pulling Lan Chan with him, and trips easily into dreaming, his body expansive in sleep, tumbling through the dreamscape with nothing attached to it at all, just streaming light and sensation. When he wakes up, it's in pools of heat, Lan Chan curled around him, his head on Wei Ying's stomach, the rest of him pretzled around Wei Ying's hips and legs. For a long, disorienting moment, those pools don't feel like they belong to Wei Ying at all. Feel like just that, just heat, the shape of his body only tangible where it is cooler, freezing into solid lines. He shakes his head, forces himself to blink his eyes open, to see himself real again. Lan Chan's hair spills out against his stomach, oil spill iridescent in the morning light. His undercut needs redoing, no longer fuzzy fresh, and his necklace has rubbed against Wei Ying's skin as he slept, leaving red marks on it. He's pulled the cover down and around him so that nothing below his neck is visible, just the distended puff of the duvet. "Hey, sweet boy." Wei Ying's voice comes out croaky. He has his own red marks on his chest. His stomach is soft where it pillows Lan Chan's cheek, and he can be glad of that, he thinks.
"Thank you for letting me sleep. You want to get breakfast?"
Lan Chan nuzzles at the trail of hair on Wei Ying's belly and props himself up on his elbows so that he can nod. His eyes are wide, slightly unfocused, and Wei Ying's face melts into sympathy.
"Bad brain day?"
He rests one finger on Lan Chan's temple, and Lan Chan leans into it, nods again, little staccato stutters of movement.
"That's okay. Let's get you up."
Lan Chan doesn't need to be pushed around the way Wei Ying does when his head gets too loud. His limbs don't get clumsy, movements sloppy. He just shrinks a little, speaks even less than normal. Wei Ying watches him slice soft-boiled eggs into his congee with quick, sure flicks of his knife.
"Sweetheart, can I just check something? Yes or no questions only, I promise."
Lan Chan nods, puts down the knife. His hair is pulled slightly over his face, messier than it normally is, even in the morning. Wei Ying thinks it might be deliberate. He's glad Lan Chan can be messy with him, that he doesn't feel the need to push it back and look him straight in the eye and force out words like punches.
"Did you feel worse this morning, after we had sex?"
Wei Ying can stop, he thinks, maybe, if Lan Chan really needs him to. Can stop using those words. Can stop imagining other things for the shape he inhabits. But Lan Chan shakes his head, and Wei Ying feels the tension in his spine uncoil.
"Did you feel better?"
Lan Chan shrugs, pinches his fingers together. "A little bit, or for a little bit, maybe."
"Okay, that's fine, baby. I'm glad for a little bit anyway. I'm gonna go for a run. Do you want to come?"
Another nod. Sometimes Lan Chan needs things that are clean and simple, methodical, like running or puzzles or braiding Wei Ying's hair. They might be out of puzzles they haven't done a million times, but 2 out of 3 is all right. Wei Ying tries not to spend too much time watching Lan Chan's long legs and his running leggings, his serious face, the sweat beating at the thick scruff at the back of his neck. He'll offer to buzz it when they get back so Lan Chan can rub his fingers against the new shorn soft of it. They run until their legs shake and walk back slowly, stretching out their calves. People look at them as they walk past, and normally Wei Ying would revel in it, would imagine their gazes on the curve of his ass, on Lan Chan's strong thighs and narrow waist, would sling a possessive arm around Lan Chan's shoulders. But today he just wants to curl them away from other eyes, to have it be quiet and just them. Lan Chan heads straight to the shower when they get back home, and then to the games cupboard. They do have a new puzzle, as it turns out, some kind of elaborate watery landscape with 100 different shades of blue. Weiying brandishes the clippers, a question, and Lan Chan comes to sit between his legs, towel over his shoulders, towel on the floor. Weiying watches the black strands fall away, silken commas against the white of the towel, and thinks about beginnings and what it looks like to start again. When he's done, Lan Chan rubs at the back and sides of his head, brushing the bristle forwards and back. Good? Weiying doesn't startle at the sound, but he fumbles as he puts the clippers away, a rough scrape on the cardboard box. Lan Chan turns to face him, takes the box from him, puts it on the ground, holds out his hands, V-shaped, an offering, a request. Weiying sinks down, gives him his face to kiss.
Why did you ask if it was worse?
Lan Chan's voice is as clear as it ever is, but Weiying still blinks at him for a second, tracking back through everything he'd said.
Well, sex is complicated sometimes, so just in case.
Deep breath. Honesty, he thinks, through the clouds in his lungs.
And in case the girl thing, I haven't exactly said that before. In case that was weird for you. I know you're gay, like, gay. Didn't even look at Wen Ting's boobs when you were helping her do her makeup for burlesque gay, so, in case.
Lan Chan keeps looking at him, level, mouth soft.
Sorry, we don't have to talk about this right now. It can wait. I just needed to check.
Lan Chan leans forward to kiss him again. He's half crouched, weight on his toes, tipping into weight on Weiying, tipping into both of them tangled up together, just breathing into each other's mouths. There's something like a sob in the back of Weiying's throat, but that's not fair. Today is Lan Chan's bad day. It doesn't get to be his, too.
Weiying.
I mean it. We'll talk about it later, okay? Tomorrow, if you want. Can I help you with the puzzle?
Weiying hates puzzles normally. What's the point when he can't make anything new, when there's a set place for everything? But today he wants the brush of Lan Chan's fingers as they search for straight edges, wants to lose himself in the water, to only see Guachi blues when he closes his eyes.
What do you want?
Lan Chan asks the next morning after he's fucked Weiying's mouth. He runs his thumb along Weiying's bottom lip, sticks it in his own mouth.
Nothing.
Weiying lifts his arms to be pulled back up onto the couch, settles into Lan Chan's arms. Sometimes he likes to just leave his arousal as a simmering thing under his skin. Sometimes he just wants Lan Chan's cock in his mouth and nothing else at all, just the building heat in Lan Chan's blissful face.
If you are sure.
Lan Chan settles Weiying on his chest. He's wholly naked and Weiying is still clothed in his running shorts and a sweat-soaked t-shirt. He'd hardly towed his shoes off before a shower-fresh Lan Chan was pushing him against the wall, sucking at his lower lip, grazing it with his teeth. It's nice to be wanted, and nice to find new ways to want. Hardwood floor on his bare knees, and Lan Chan's towel dropping to the floor. Lan Chan runs his fingers through the tangle of Weiying's hair, humming a little. Weiying doesn't recognize the song, but then he seldom does. There aren't many places where their tastes in music converge. It's nice all the same.
Your hair is getting long.
Lan Chan skims his hand over the peeling lettering on the back of Weiying's shirt, advertising a scattered run of tour dates for Wen Ning's band. Slides his hand up under it, where the sweat has cooled in the hollow of his back. Rests his fingers between the knobs of Weiying's spine like their piano keys.
Yeah.
Weiying's not sure what he wants to do about it. He's always kept it longish, but now it's falling past his shoulders.
Might see if Huaisang has any bright ideas when I see them on Tuesday.
Huaisang cuts all their friends' hair, has done since college. Songlan doesn't like to be touched by strangers. Wen Ting spent 2 years being asked why such a beautiful young woman wanted a boy's haircut, and Weiying is just cheap. And now it's tradition, a thing they've all slotted into their lives. Lan Chan doesn't ask if they're going to talk about gender, even though he knows that's why Weiying texted them in the first place. He just talks to Weiying about work until Weiying is contentedly soft in his shorts, and then hauls him into the kitchen to act as sous chef for lunch. Huaisang opens the door to their apartment, brandishing fabric scissors, which they snip loudly as Weiying unlaces his boots. There's dried paint on the floor and a big sketch of a weeping willow half-finished over the door to the living room and a photograph of Wei-Ying's own grinning face staring back at him, sandwiched between a scowling Wen-Ting and a semi-nude Mian-Mian wearing angel wings and looking beatific. Huaisong's apartment is never quite the same, but it's always Huaisong's, bright and colorful and startlingly beautiful, in a way that makes you look again and again. Wei-Ying sits down on the ottoman and looks up at Huaisong, still holding the scissors cocked at an angle in their hand.
"Gender?" he says, hopefully.
"What about it?" Huaisong raises a wry eyebrow, and Wei-Ying forces a grin.
I was hoping you could tell me that, mostly. Aha, it's... sorry, this is a weird thing, right? This is a weird cis boy asking his trans friend thing, I'm sorry.
3 days ago, you sent me a text that said, and I quote, "Maybe not cis? ?" Alarm emoji, crying laughing emoji, knife emoji. Are you around this week? Don't worry if not. Which is pretty much all the context I'm working off here. That and the fact that you like to say pussy in bed. And my accumulated knowledge of you over the past 15 years of our lives, during which time you have become one of my top three cis people. I gotta warn you, the trans category is a lot more competitive.
Only top three?
Wei-Ying, Daga has two boyfriends who are constantly buying me stuff. It's only loyalty that's kept you there.
That's pretty fair, actually. And one of those boyfriends is Wei-Ying's future brother-in-law, so Wei-Ying appreciates he has stiff competition.
Is it a sex thing?
Huaisong sits down opposite Wei-Ying on one of their ridiculous stiff-backed dining chairs, curlicues of wood under their bare feet.
I don't think so. Not only, anyway. I want it to be not sexy, too.
Lan-Chan thinks everything you do is hot, so good luck with that.
Huaisong laughs at Wei-Ying's blush, rocks back in the chair.
Oh, Ying-Ying, I don't know. Just because I was the first person we know to come out doesn't mean I have all the answers. Do you feel like you're not a boy?
Sometimes. Not all the time, though. It's kind of like the nucleus of me is a dude, right? But I've got all these little protons and electrons whizzing around that aren't.
He ignores whatever Huaisong's face is doing at the mention of atoms.
So I wasn't sure. I thought maybe I was making it up.
Everybody thinks they're making it up at some point. Everybody I know, anyway.
You knew.
Huaisong had taken him aside when they were 16, their face oddly serious. And Wei-Ying had hugged them tight and gone home and practiced until the words were easy and natural on his tongue. Maybe he should have asked more questions at the time. He's still mostly glad he didn't.
Not immediately. I thought I might be a girl for a little bit, but I was wrong. I waited until I was almost sure to tell you, but that's all it was. Almost. There's not one solid, indisputable way you can know. Sometimes you have to go with your gut, which is your specialty, not mine, so, you know, you'll be all right.
Wei-Ying sighs, brings his knees up to his chest.
I don't know.
He sounds like Huaisong in high school, chin propped on their hand, wide-eyed as the teacher called on them again. Huaisong hasn't been that person for a very long time. Wei-Ying misses their younger selves sometimes.
I mean, I know all the words, I've done the reading, but I don't. Sometimes I feel like a dude, or at least fine with being one, and sometimes I feel like nothing at all. And sometimes I feel like not quite a girl, but not a boy, more feminine. But like, I'm a gay man, I'm extremely aware that men can be feminine and still men, so I don't know.
He takes a deep, shuddering breath, and then another one, because the oxygen doesn't seem to be quite getting into his lungs in the way it should.
Aw, Ying-Ying.
Huaisong stands up and comes over to hug Wei-Ying, pulling his head into their stomach.
Well, I don't think you're cis. Not that I should. My word isn't law. Don't take anything I say too seriously.
You don't?
Does that sound right to you?
Wei-Ying nods into Huaisong's shirt, some kind of structured drapey silk thing. Lan-Chan would know what it was called.
But I still, I mean, is there a word for it? I don't...
Another deep breath, and Huaisong pats his head.
Probably, if you want one. But you don't have to have one. You can keep going exactly as you are and just know this thing about yourself. Or you can dress differently, or...
He stops. Wei-Ying is nodding like something's clicked. He's an adult. He's employed. He can buy his own clothes. If he wants to get on his phone and buy a dress, he's allowed to. If he wants to wear more makeup than he does now, he's allowed. If...
Lan-Chan is gay, though.
You're gay?
I'm like umbrella gay. Lan Chan is a hard six.
Huaisong shrugs. They look supremely unbothered, which is infuriating.
That's a you and Lan Chan conversation. He's not going to ditch you, though, Ying Ying.
Wei Ying nods again, and Huaisong lets go of him entirely, looking a little relieved.
Excellent.
The drawl is back, the face Huaisong wears at their gallery shows and events.
Darling, while you're here, we have to do something about your hair. Your split ends are giving me a migraine.
Yes, Wei Ying says fervently. Yes, please. Can you do something to stop it falling straight down in my face? Huaisong sets the fabric scissors down, picks their hairdressing scissors up.
Layers, they say, like a blessing and a prayer all at once.
Wei Ying arrives back home with hair that feels shiny and sleek and 100 times lighter, and that doesn't immediately fall into his eyes every time he moves his head. He also goes home with 2 dresses and a tube of lipstick stuffed into his bag, because Huaisong had caught him Googling and immediately shaken their head and taken matters into their own hands. One is a simple sundress that looks like something Lan Chan would buy, pale blue cotton and faint white flowers. And the other is a slinky black mini-dress that makes Wei Ying feel hot under the collar just looking at it. Lan Chan texts Wei Ying while he's on the bus, stuck in the last dregs of rush hour traffic, to say that his final lesson is running late, and so Wei Ying arrives home to an empty house, cool and quiet. He heads into their bedroom to put away his new belongings and catches sight of himself in the wardrobe mirror. He's dressed as he always is for work, black jeans, stark button down with sleeves rolled up. Chunky boots that he can wear on site visits if he needs to. Fabric thinning at the knees, and, he suspects, a little bit around his ass, where it is tightest. He looks at the slice of room behind him that's visible in the mirror, the side of the bed neatly made, crisp white linens and heavy navy blanket. Lan Chan's sandalwood diffuser on the dresser, thick striped rug beneath his feet. Familiar and safe. He looks at himself again, refocuses. He looks fine. He feels fine about it. It's just a person who goes to work, a work person. He plucks at the shirt, frowns, unbuttons it, looks at his narrow chest, the line dip between his ribs, the slight edge of definition dissolving into softness around his belly button, the sharp cut of his hips. Bruises on those where the jeans ride low, Lan Chan's fingerprints. That's the only bit that feels like his, marks that he asked for and wanted, something he had a say in. Lan Chan kisses the mole on his shoulder sometimes, but Wei Ying looks at it now and feels nothing but bewilderment. He tugs at the skin on his hips, stretching it, as if it might resolve itself into something wider. Pulls off his trousers, bony knees, runner's calves, sparse hair until his ankles where it stops abruptly. Slender feet, perfect ankles. His cock, small in its softness, nestled against his pubes. He holds it in his hand, considering. It's fine. Sometimes all he does is brush himself and there are sparks, but today there's nothing. Just the same as touching any of his skin, the same as lacing up his boots, zipping his coat. Things and actions he feels an absent-minded affection for. There are days Wei Ying stands in front of the mirror and preens, days he tweaks his nipples just to watch them peak, days he cranes his neck to see the plushness of his ass in all its glory. Today he shrugs, uninterested in all he sees, and turns to fish the cotton sundress out of his bag. It doesn't quite fit right. Huaisong is both shorter and a little stockier than him, with wider hips. But it still hits just below his knees. The final half-foot ruffled gently. He smiles. Smiles bigger when he turns back to the mirror, pulls out his hair from its ponytail, lets it settle around his face, obscuring the sharpness of his jaw. He looks pretty. He smiles wider, and the person in the mirror, him, that person who is also him, smiles back, front teeth slipping over their bottom lip. Cute. Wei Ying walks into the kitchen. The dress makes him want to twirl, makes him want to skip, to find a joy and a lightness in his movements. He does so because there's nobody to watch, because he can laugh about it, self-deprecating and thrilled all at once, do it again to see the way the fabric flares. There's something about it that makes his arms want to find elegant lines, the way wearing sweatpants or shorts makes him want to slouch, makes him feel boy, in ways that either feel perfect or don't, depending on the day. Lan Chan arrives home just as he takes his first prancing steps through the living room, an open snack bar in hand.
Lan Chan looks up and drops his backpack, a heavy reverberating thump. He must have brought his marking home.
Wei Ying.
He takes an unsteady step forwards, his eyes very dark. He looks like he wants to fall to his knees in the middle of the room. He goes to take another step and then stops, visibly gathers himself.
Not a sex thing.
Lan Chan has gotten better at asking these things since Wei Ying's latest meds change resulted in 2 months where he wanted to sleep and eat one of three acceptable food items and not a whole lot else. But Wei Ying still feels a rush of fondness for the deliberate gentling of his face, the way he keeps his voice level, open. He shakes his head. I just wanted to put it on, for me.
You look very beautiful. Is it Huaisong's?
When Wei Ying nods, Lan Chan takes another step forward and reaches out his hand.
May I?
Yes, Lan Chan, just because it's still me. You don't have to ask to touch me. Lan Chan rubs the cotton between his fingers. It's good quality because Huaisong is a snob, and he nods in approval. They're both snobs. That's mostly why they're friends. Did you want dinner? I figured we'd just have the leftovers from yesterday, and I can make salad while you freshen up. Lan Chan wraps his arms around Wei Ying's waist and tucks his head into the crook of his neck, breathes deeply. Wei Ying thinks he's sniffing him, which he does a lot, but is still basically a bit weird. Lan Chan says he smells good, and Wei Ying had sent him countless articles about pheromones and dumb human instincts, until Lan Chan had said it just proved they were supposed to be together, and Wei Ying had had to shut down that line of research as quickly as possible for the sake of his own health. They stay there for several minutes, just hugging, rocking slightly from side to side, until Lan Chan's stomach rumbles and he pulls back, looking rueful. I've got it, Wei Ying tells him, pressing a quick kiss to his cheek and turning on his heel. The dress spins out as he does, and he grins, small and private, where Lan Chan can't see. He thinks he's gotten away with it, mostly, until Lan Chan puts down his fork and reaches across the table, readjusting one of the straps where it started to slip. The dress has a big drapey ribbon at the back of the neck that Wei Ying has only half managed to tie. He'll get Lan Chan to do it next time.
Should I use different words for you? Different pronouns?
Lan Chan asks. No. Wei Ying shakes his head and picks up Lan Chan's right hand, clasping it in both of his. Not for this. I don't want different words. I thought about it. I'm not a girl. Not even sometimes. That's a relief, right?
Wei Ying.
There is something very tense, very quiet in Lan Chan's eyes.
Please do not for me.
I'm not. But you're gay, and if I was a girl, that would be a problem, so phew, dodge that bullet.
Perhaps. Lan Chan kisses their joined hands. I have spent much time thinking about it, and I have struggled to come to a conclusion.
He looks helpless.
I love you so much.
I know, but you might just have had to love me as your best friend again, hypothetically. But you don't, unless... I'm not just dressing up either. I'm not a boy all the time either, so...
That is fine. Of course that is fine, Wei Ying.
Did you guess a little bit? He kicks Lan Chan under the table. Lan Chan frowns.
I wasn't going to say that. That would not be polite or wholly accurate.
But did you?
Not exactly. I was not surprised.
Ugh, me neither. That makes it worse, though. It's like when I came out the first time and even I was like, no shit, idiot.
Wei Ying.
Teenage me was an idiot. You can't dispute that. I just thought I was more self-aware now, but I'm 26 and I've literally just figured out I'm not cis.
There's a building hysteria in his voice, and Lan Chan tugs his hand free, stands up, pulls his chair out so that he can come and sit next to Wei Ying, wrapping himself around him.
You are not an idiot. You are figuring things out in a world that wants you to pretend to be happy with the mold it has given you. I am proud of you.
He kisses Wei Ying's temple.
And I am... If it is important to you, I am attracted to you like this. You look... It looks bright on you.
Would you... I know I said I don't want different pronouns, I don't think.
Lan Chan watches impatiently, and Wei Ying feels him test the weight of those words, the places where they leak, the places where they are permeable, poorly patching up Wei Ying's own uncertainty. He can't work out why he doesn't,
why girl and boy and person are clanging bells in his mind, a chorus of meaning attached to them, and why she and him and they are empty signifiers that seem to have nothing much to do with him at all.
You can change your mind.
Right. Wei Ying looks at the table. The wooden grain is worn at the edges, slightly rounded. It had been Lan Chan's mother's a very long time ago. It had been in storage before Lan Chan moved out, and Wei Ying had helped him clean it up, revarnish it, had been the first person to eat at it, eating takeaway Korean food with plastic chopsticks. They have a home together. They have a life together, and Wei Ying is...
Sweetheart.
Lan Chan presses one hand against Wei Ying's heart where it rattles in his chest.
We have time. You have so much time to think about it if you want to.
I know. Wei Ying takes a deep breath. He can do this. They basically already do half of this stuff. I want... mostly in bed still, I think. But sometimes, when I feel like this... Another deep breath, and Lan Chan takes it with him, guiding. I thought Huaisung was going to call me a beautiful girl before. Weeks ago. I wanted them to. Wei Ying is a little mortified, thinking about the way Lan Chan has been following his lead, treading carefully around saying any of the actual words for these things, like he's cutting out paper snowflakes, tiny holes in the definitions left for Wei Ying to fall through. It's probably weird how he feels about this, but it's also not entirely unprecedented. He clung to the word gay and all its ambiguities and potential inaccuracies like it was a life raft the first time around, and he thinks there might be room on there for this, too. He wants something blunt now, though, something unambiguous that burns his fingers and shocks straight through him, and Lan Chan gives it to him, looks at him straight in the eyes and says,
You are Ying Mei, my beautiful girl.
It is a shock, a sunshine first day of spring shock, lifting your face to the sky and shucking off your jacket, bare arms in the air for the first time in months. His limbs feel elegant again. Lan Chan watches Wei Ying's face carefully.
Wei Ying, may I buy you dresses? And other clothes if you wish to expand your wardrobe. Skirts, perhaps. Blouses.
Lan Chan likes to dress him up. It's a little bit of a kink thing. A little bit Lan Chan just liking pretty things. Liking pretty things on Wei Ying. For the first time in a while, Wei Ying thinks Lan Chan's reaction makes real sense. If the trade here is that Lan Chan gets a little bit less of a boyfriend, but gets to buy an entire new wardrobe, that probably balances out pretty well. I'd like that.
For you. And it would be somewhat for me if...
Still a bit of a sex thing, Wei Ying reminds him, before the guilt grows too sharp on Lan Chan's face. You liked it, right, when you came in?
Lan Chan goes delightfully stiff. I do not wish to objectify you.
Well, you can, a little, as a treat. Wei Ying yawns, his jaw cracking, and they both huff out tiny laughs, the last of the tension dissipating. Come on, then. Help me load the dishwasher, and then you can jerk off in the shower while I wash the product out of my hair.
Lan Chan kisses him, still smiling, mostly teeth. It's been over a year, and Wei Ying is still finding times he's surprised to be kissed.
He hopes he will be for a while longer yet.
Jiang Yanli greets Wei Ying at the door with Jin Ling at her hip, and he pulls them both into his arms, nuzzling into the last of Jin Ling's baby smell, his soft, almost toddler hair.
I missed you, Dee Dee,
she says, and Wei Ying squeezes her tighter, rocking her up onto her toes. She laughs and steps back, hands him Jin Ling.
Hold your nephew, let me get a good look at you, see how that boy of yours has been treating you.
Her voice is mock stern, but her face melts into pleased, uncomplicated happiness as she sizes him up.
Aw, Ying Ying, you look so handsome. Handsome and happy.
She beams and Wei Ying freezes, feels the sick race of his heart as it starts to speed up. He hasn't told her. He thought, he feels sort of in the middle today, fine enough to dress like he normally does, and he thought it wouldn't come up. That it wouldn't have to come up. That he'd get to hug his sister and his brother and his sweet, chubby nephew. And fight with Jiang Cheng about who bought Aling the best present and create havoc with the birthday boy himself, and that it would all be fine. It isn't. The words feel like a punch, like an insult instead of the wholehearted compliment Zhe Zhe intends.
His arms tighten around Aling instinctively, and Jiang Yanli lays a hand on his arm.
Didi?
He shakes his head, mute, makes wide eyes at the child in his arms. Zhe Zhe, to her credit, looks unfazed by this, just turns around and yells, Zixuan, until her husband appears. He takes the child from Wei Ying, looking typically awkward, and shifts on his feet for a moment, as if he thinks he ought to do something else.
Zixuan, can you put him down for his nap?
Zhe Zhe asks, smiling sweetly, and Zixuan, looking relieved, turns to go. Zhe Zhe takes him into her bedroom, and they sit down on her big plush rug, and Wei Ying starts crying. It's so stupid. He's not even sad, just tired and off-kilter and confused and overwhelmed all at once. Zhe Zhe wraps her arms around him, and they sway like that, until Jiang Cheng bangs open the door, looking furious.
Zixuan said you dragged her off without even coming to say...
He stops when he sees Wei Ying is crying, and drops to the floor immediately, grabbing Wei Ying's socked feet, the only part of him not wrapped up in Yanli's arms.
What did he do?
He asks darkly, and Wei Ying laughs, snotty and hysterical, because of course his brother assumes that's what's wrong.
Nothing. He's perfect.
He stops. It's not like Zhe Zhe is straight, he tells himself desperately. It's not like either of them were anything but angrily, wholly supportive the first time around, even as everything else went to shit.
It's something else.
Jiang Cheng opens his mouth, probably to start casting aspersions on all the other areas of Wei Ying's life that he thinks might be the problem. But Yanli reaches out a hand, pulls him into the hug properly.
I realized something a few weeks ago.
Huaisong, he thinks, in a sudden surge of brilliance.
You guys know Huaisong, right?
Yes, Wei Ying. We all went to the same school. We do both remember your best friend. Thank you for reminding us.
Jiang Cheng's voice is sharp, the way it is when he's really worried.
Right.
Wei Ying laughs uneasily.
Well, I realized a few weeks ago that I'm kind of like Huaisong. Not a boy, I mean. Not sis.
Oh, Wei Ying.
Zhe Zhe hugs him even tighter. Jiang Cheng seems to have frozen.
Thank you so much for telling us. Do you need us to use different pronouns like Huaisong does?
No.
Jiang Cheng still hasn't moved.
No, him is good right now, thanks.
Oh God, he really doesn't want to tell his perfect sister she fucked up. Yanli squeezes his arm, and he grabs her hand where it's pressed against his chest.
You said handsome earlier when I came in, and it felt weird. I know you weren't trying to... Sorry, I'm explaining this badly, but I...
Never thought you'd miss a chance to be told how good-looking you are,
Jiang Cheng says gruffly, and that's what does it. Wei Ying laughs, the tension dissolving from his chest, and they collapse sideways, the three of them giggling like children again.
Would you like me to tell Zixuan?
Zhe Zhe asks, once they've managed to regain their breath.
Oh God, yes, please.
Wei Ying can think of little worse than having to have the same stilted conversation with Jin Zixuan. He can begrudgingly admit that Zixuan loves Zhe Zhe, and that he is vastly improved from when they were teenagers, but he's not about to start weeping on his shoulder. Zhe Zhe squeezes his shoulder, and they all pull each other up, still sort of laughing. Jiang Cheng claps him on the shoulder and nods toward his guest room.
Come on, let me show you what I've bought, Aling. There's absolutely no way you're beating this.
Wei Ying is shattered by the time he escapes to his own guest room, thankfully at the other end of the house. He loves Aling more than almost anything in the world, but after his fourth teething-induced temper tantrum, he just wants to hear Lan Chan talk about children who can, express themselves in words and the adult mundanity of his staff room drama. Lan Chan picks up on the second dial, switching the call to video immediately. He's still wearing his coat, though he starts taking it off once he answers, the image dipping sideways as he shakes his arms out of his sleeves. When Wei Ying can see his face again, there's a strain around his eyes, even though he's smiling, reaching out to press one forefinger against the screen.
Hey, Lan Chan, how was the dinner?
Lan Chan pulls a face. Dinner with his uncle and his brother, devoid of the shielding presence of any of their boyfriends, is never normally his favorite pastime. Lan Chan believes family is important, and he will go dutifully every month until his uncle is dead, but he's exhausted afterwards every time. We don't have to talk if you just want to sleep.
Lan Chan shakes his head. Missed you. How was Ao Ling? Did he open any presents early?
Wei Ying pouts mournfully and tells Lan Chan about the teething and Zhe Zhe's very strict day of present rule, and about the soup he's eaten, and the white guy on his flight who is very visibly high, and, when Lan Chan presses, tells him that he came out to his siblings. Lan Chan smiles, soft and proud, and blows Wei Ying a kiss through the screen, which is so unbearably cute that Wei Ying has to put the phone down to scream into the pillow for a second. When he picks it back up, Lan Chan is shirtless, the phone propped against the bathroom mirror as Lan Chan washes his face. Wei Ying just watches for a while, because Lan Chan's nighttime skincare routine is one of his top 10 most soothing sights, but he thinks Lan Chan needs to talk too.
Chan Chan, how was dinner? For real?
Lan Chan takes a deep breath and tells him, in between swipes of toner and pats of his skin. Lan Xiren still wants him back in the family business, no matter how much Lan Chan tells him he's out of it for good. Lan Chan isn't going to back down, not when he knows he's doing the right thing, but it still wears at him. Wei Ying makes him tell him stories about the funniest kid in Lan Chan's class afterwards, just to get the light back in his eyes. After that, the conversation drifts, and Wei Ying breathes into the silence, wriggles where he's sitting in bed. The tiredness from earlier is filtered away, and in its place is an undercurrent of persistent need.
Lan Chan.
His voice is already slipping into a whine, but he can't help it, not when it comes to this.
Lan Chan, I want to jerk off.
Lan Chan sounds disinterested, and Wei Ying watches the careful realignment of his face, the way he pulls himself into coldness. Are you telling me?
No, sorry, Gugu. I meant... Chunga, can I touch myself? I'll make it pretty for you, I promise.
This had been Wei Ying's idea 4 months ago, sick of work trips and time zones that didn't align with Lan Chan's day. He'd thought if he'd had to ask permission every time, tell Lan Chan every time he touched himself, then that would be hot. It would be hot if Lan Chan knew, if Lan Chan asked for more detail, the breakdown of what Wei Ying had done to get himself off. And it was, and it had been, but Wei Ying is starting to realize it is one of the many instances where his bright ideas have wholly backfired on himself.
No, Lan Chan says. You may not.
Arguga, please. It's been a weird day and I need it. I need to feel good. Don't you want to see it?
Are you so shameless that you have allowed yourself to become so desperate in your sister's home?
Wei Ying feels the words light him up from the inside, traveling through his skin. His face is hot. He wriggles again and looks for the way Lan Chan's eyes darken. He wishes he was there, wasn't seeing it through pixels and a shitty connection.
I can't help it, he whines. I can't help it. Just seeing you gets me so hot, Lan Chan.
No.
What if I do it anyway? Would you be able to stop watching me, Arguka? I bet you wouldn't. Don't you want to see my hand on my dick? Don't you want to see how wet I am for you already?
I will watch you, and you will come, and you will be punished when you get home. You know what you have agreed to, Wei Ying.
Wei Ying pouts, because he does, and Lan Chan's face has gone mean.
I won't,
he says hastily, when he thinks Lan Chan might be about to say something else.
You're right, I won't. But Lan Chan, you have to talk about something really unsexy now, okay? Tell me about dinner with your uncle again, but in more detail this time. Really get into his weird business beef with Jin Zixuan's terrible dad.
Okay.
Lan Chan smiles, the tenderness returning to his face, and Wei Ying puts the phone on the pillow, lies down, listens to everything Lan Chan has to say. Somehow, despite the current running through his veins, he sleeps. Wei Ying's flight gets in on a Saturday morning, and Lan Chan picks him up from the airport, hugs him in the middle of the arrival lounge, as if it had been months and not 4 days.
I miss you, he says, and then draws back, takes Wei Ying's bag. You smell like an airplane.
Wei Ying grins at him and takes his unoccupied hand, because he loves Lan Chan and his weirdly sensitive nose.
Sorry, sweetheart. I'll shower when we get home, and then we can do whatever you want, okay? Zero plans for the rest of the weekend. This?
He pats his chest, and then, when Lan Chan glances over, his ass is all yours.
Lan Chan jostles their arms so that they bang against Wei Ying's side, and he grins wider.
I have plans, Lan Chan says darkly. How are you feeling today?
Lan Chan asks once they're in the car. Wei Ying watches the careful 10-2 alignment of his hands, notices the thin swatch of concealer under his eyes. He'd been listening to Chen Yi on the way here, the choral strains booming for a few seconds after he turned the engine on, so he's feeling pensive, worried about something, maybe.
Sort of in the middle? Not boy, not girl.
Lan Chan bites his lip, which he only does when he's really nervous, and Wei Ying reaches across, puts his hand on his knee.
Hey, darling, what's wrong? Did something happen?
Lan Chan had seemed fine last night, but a lot can happen in a morning. Lan Chan shakes his head slightly.
It is silly.
That's fine. You're talking to me, the person who does the most amount of silly things ever, all the time. Tell me what's up.
I bought you clothes.
Okay. You said you were going to. Were you worried I changed my mind?
Not exactly. There are... I had already ordered some, and I missed you this weekend.
Oh.
Lan Chan is not always good at being left alone.
How much did you buy, sweetheart?
Lan Chan shrugs, looking helpless and overwhelmed, and Wei Ying squeezes his knee.
You can dress me up, he tells him. You can make me try it all on, and you can take pictures if you want. And then if we don't like anything, we can send it back or give it to charity or to one of our friends. And we can keep the things we like, and I'll wear them and think of you.
Yes, that sounds good.
Lan Chan slips one hand off the wheel briefly to lay it on top of Wei Ying's own.
Thank you. I said it was silly.
He sounds a little sheepish.
And I said that was fine. What's the point of us, Chan Chan, if we can't be silly in front of each other?
Wei Ying turns the radio on, because Lan Chan looks like he's had enough of the conversation for a little bit, and chair dances until they get back home. He regrets wasting that energy when he walks through the door and sees the boxes and bags. There are a lot. When he turns, Lan Chan is blushing.
Hey, it's still fine, I promise. We might just not get through it all today. But that's okay. More time for you to play dress-up with me. I'm gonna go brush my teeth and shower.
And get really clean, he doesn't say, but he's pretty sure Lan Chan hears that anyway, with the way his fingers flex on the handle of Wei Ying's suitcase. When Wei Ying gets out of the shower, the big boxes and bags have vanished, and in their place are a neat pile of clothes and two smaller shoe boxes. Lan Chan picks them up when he walks in, ushers them towards the bedroom. Wei Ying had felt sort of silly getting dressed only to get undressed, probably multiple times again. So he's just wearing his bath towel slung around his waist. His hair is still damp, curling at the ends, and Lan Chan tousles it as they walk to the bedroom, fond.
You got a plan?
Wei Ying asks. It's redundant. He knows Lan Chan has a plan. He just wants to see the glint in his eye when he nods. Wei Ying drops the towel once they're in the bedroom, and then picks it up and folds it over the headboard after Lan Chan glares at him, and stands in front of the mirror. He's a little flushed from the shower, his nipples pebbling in the air, and he spent 4 days lazing around and being force-fed Zhe Zhe's food. He looks good on it, he thinks, and Lan Chan must agree because he half growls, pulls Wei Ying into a bruising kiss.
Mine, he grumbles into Wei Ying's mouth.
Yours, Wei Ying confirms, soothing. Yours to dress up, Barguke.
Lan Chan raises an eyebrow.
I have not forgotten.
He picks up the things on the top of the pile. Lingerie, Wei Ying realizes, black and lacy, insubstantial in Lan Chan's hands. Lan Chan blushes, bright red and immediate.
You do not have to, he starts, but Wei Ying is already making grabby hands.
There's a lace thong, which fits snugly enough that it definitely anticipated the whole penis-having thing, which is probably good. Wei Ying imagines the chafing might get bad otherwise. And then a bralette, which goes over his head as easily as a t-shirt and ends just below his pecs. He can sort of see his nipples through the fabric, and there's an odd thrill to that, better than being naked, almost. Behind him, Lan Chan swallows.
I want you to try on the more everyday things first. I have placed them in order.
He holds the first proper clothing item out,
It's a black jumpsuit, thick and sturdy cotton, short-sleeved and long-legged, with big shiny metal buttons all the way down to the waist. It pretty much looks like something Wei Ying would wear anyway, were it not for the tie-cinched waistline.
I thought you could wear it to work. It would go with your docs, and it would not be noticeable if you did not want it to be. There's a shorts version, too.
He holds that out. It's pretty similar, just with more pocket zips, and so perfectly thoughtful, so perfectly Lan Chan, that Wei Ying wants to cry. They look good on, making his shoulders look broad and his waist look narrow, elongating his legs. When he puts his docks on, too, it's even better, the contrast of the drape of the fabric and his stompy boots. He looks like Wen Ting, almost. It's the same as the shapes of her clothing that he's most admired, most longed for.
It's perfect, he tells Lan Chan. Put those in the keep pile, definitely. It feels like something I can wear a lot. In the middle days, too.
Good. I also got myself one, Lan Chan admits, and nods to the wardrobe.
When Wei Ying opens it, there's a cream jumpsuit hanging there, drapey and much more delicate than Wei Ying's.
Weeknight date outfits, then, he says, and kisses Lan Chan.
Lan Chan hands over a few more things. It turns out that Wei Ying hates blouses, which sit on his shoulders all wrong, and Lan Chan places them all neatly in the no pile. Or almost all. There's one pale blue pussy bow blouse that Wei Ying notices him sneak off to the side. But he loves women's shorts, which make his butt look amazing. They pick out a big, flouncy, black and gold maxi skirt that Wei Ying can tell Lan Chan thinks is sort of tacky, but that he bought because he knew Wei Ying would love it anyway. And a red dress with scalloped white down the front that makes him feel like he's in a storybook and would look cute with his Converse. And a sort of weird, lumpy, short black dress.
Seersucker, Lan Chan supplies,
that he tries on with the moderately alarming over-the-knee black boots that were in one of the shoeboxes. He looks hot. He looks hot and feels good, relaxed into the way he fills it out, and he smiles at Lan Chan lasciviously.
I know.
Lan Chan kneels down to open the other shoebox and rests his hand on the inside of Wei Ying's knee.
You look very pretty. These are all for you, though. This last one is for me.
Wei Ying is expecting something overtly sexy. Short, certainly, maybe bodycon, maybe one of those corsety dress things. He's not expecting the white cotton mini-dress that Lan Chan pulls out, delicately crocheted and ruffled, lace on the straps and on the edges. Lan Chan takes out white little high-heeled ankle boots from the shoebox, sort of 60s, all shiny patent leather, and gives them to him too.
You should take off the underwear, Lan Chan says, voice as flat as he can make it. Otherwise it will show through.
He takes the lingerie when Wei Ying drops it on the floor, holds it in his hands for a moment, before putting both pieces in his pocket. When Wei Ying looks at himself in the mirror, he gasps. He looks oddly innocent, fresh-faced, hair still curly from the shower, falling around his face in bracketing lines. The rest of the time he's felt like Wei Ying, like a Wei Ying stepping into something new, but still resolutely him, still pinioned by the same body. This feels like someone else entirely, someone he could walk past on the street and stop and watch for a second. He turns to look at Lan Chan, who is holding himself very still, hands behind his back.
Lan Chan?
Take off the boots.
Wei Ying bends down to do so, conscious of the way the dress rides up, exposing where his ass meets his thighs. When he spins back around, Lan Chan is staring at him.
You look Wei Ying.
His voice is wrecked, desperate already, just from Wei Ying standing here, wearing a dress that Lan Chan picked out for him. But his face is implacable. Wei Ying nods, permission and acknowledgement both, and Lan Chan steps forward, spins him around, and throws him on the bed.
You have not touched yourself while you were away.
Voice steady now, under control. Wei Ying shivers at his tone.
No, Wei Ying says, in case it actually was a question.
Good. You will do so now.
Lan Chan sits cross-legged at the end of the bed, carefully moving Wei Ying's damp towel out of his way, and waves an imperious hand.
Lan Chan?
You waited. Now you will show me what you would have done.
Which time?
He'd asked twice before he got the picture.
The first, to start with.
To start with, Weying thinks, anticipatory dread curling at his toes. He brings a hand to touch himself under the dress and starts when he feels himself bare. He'd almost forgotten in the rush of looking in the mirror. He wraps a hand around himself, still mostly soft, and begins to move.
What would you have been thinking of the first time?
You, Weying says immediately. You, and wishing you were there, and trying to make it look good for you, through the camera, and how it felt knowing you were watching.
I am watching now.
He is, hands resting on his knees, sitting entirely straight, eyes focused on where Weying's hand is moving slowly up and down. Weying pulls his hand out, looks around automatically for the lube.
You did not bring lube with you.
He knows that's true, because Weying always forgets.
Spit if you need it wetter.
Weying looks at his hand and wonders when the act of spitting made him miss Lan Chan, even if he's sitting right there. Still, he does, takes himself in hand again, moving faster now, almost all the way to hard. It isn't enough, just his hand, just this, not with Lan Chan sitting there. He's too spoiled. Lan Chan, baby, I need you.
I am right here. Do not be greedy, Weying. I am giving you what you asked for. I am letting you touch yourself. Is that not enough for you?
No. Weying pouts, knows he's pushing it even as he does so.
Weying, are you interested in coming at all tonight?
Lan Chan's voice is casual, utterly deadly, and Weying feels himself twitch in his hand at the way Lan Chan looks at him, disdainful, as if he is something to be dissected. Yes, Lan Chan, I'm sorry. Of course you're enough. You look so good.
So do you, Weying. And yet I am still giving you what you wanted. Me watching you touch yourself. Is it that you lack self-control?
Every word a slap, a lash across Weying's skin, and he's so hard, throbbing with it, leaking through the white fabric. He tries to adjust the ruffles, tries to cover up where he is sticky and wet, and Lan Chan sees him and smiles, mocking.
So greedy, Weying. Show me what you're greedy for, sweetheart. Show me that pretty cock.
Weying groans at the words, rucks the dress up above his hips, and speeds up his hand again, bringing his other hand down to play with his balls, to trace along his inner thighs, bending his knees so that he can just about reach his hole. It's an awkward angle, not quite enough leverage, and Lan Chan smiles in pretended sympathy.
It's not the same, is it, sweetheart? Not the same without my thick cock in you. Did you take toys with you?
Weying shakes his head and Lan Chan sighs.
So underprepared. A pity. If you're good for me, maybe I will pack them for you next time. Would you like that? Me choosing what you're allowed to put in you?
Weying nods frantically. He's so close, can feel the wind rush where he'll lose his balance, but he can't. Not until Lan Chan says,
Come. You can come for me, darling.
And he is, shaking with it, legs falling back to the mattress, cum all over the dress in his own hand, messy and unprepared.
Good. And the second time?
Weying stares at him. He's still trembling from his orgasm.
Weying, I will not ask again. What did you want the second time?
I wanted... Weying can barely remember who he is, let alone what he thought 2 days ago. I wanted you. I wanted your fingers, or my fingers. I just needed to be filled up. I felt so empty.
But you did not bring any lube.
No.
Lan Chan tilts his head. Would you have taken your fingers dry, Weying? Is that how much you wanted something in you?
Weying nods, humiliation washing through him like a wave, sending him tingling, all his particles uprooted at once.
Show me, Lan Chan says, and then holds up one finger. Wait, you would have been able to see yourself also on the screen.
He stands up and walks to his dressing table, picking up the hand mirror in which he does his makeup.
Commence,
he says when he sits back down, and Weying adjusts himself, spitting in his hand once more. Weying has shown himself in flashes, his flushed face, his gaping mouth, his chest, sweat spreading through the fabric, his nipples brown circles beneath the ruches, the sticky mess of his skirt, his soft, twitching dick, his grasping hole, sloppy with his own scooped-up cum and spit, one finger working its way in. It's like looking at a different person, these rectangles of a human wholly other. And it's good. It's so good to see his body and to only half feel how it is to be inside it. To look at his hands and the pucker of his hole and just see sex and need. To look at the spit-slick burst of his lower lip and to love, abstractly and entirely, how red it is, how it shines. All these bits of him, the fall of the dress over his hip, the hollow of his collarbone, the hair on his calves, the straight line of his waist, all these little question mark segments that he can look at and feel entirely, blissfully at peace with.
"You're hard again," Lan Chan tells him, and Wei Ying feels it only then.
His dick a hot line at the root of him, and he takes himself in hand, flits his gaze between his own face and Lan Chan's as he moves, watches their mouths twist as one, watches them bite their lips, and feels the ripple of it run through them both.
"Stop," Lan Chan tells him, and he does, pierced by it. "Move your foot, Wei Ying. You will get a cramp. That's it. You may start again."
Lan Chan stops him twice more, gets him to adjust his grip, to slide another finger in, a stinging burn that only just transmutes into pleasure. Wei Ying is panting by the time Lan Chan sits back again, mirror resting in his hand, showing Wei Ying the blankets and half his torso, the occasional flash of his knuckles in the forefront.
"Come, Wei Ying," Lan Chan says, his voice much softer this time.
Wei Ying feels like he's floating on it, like he's in the middle of the ocean staring up at the sky. He feels very small. He thinks he might exist in those flashes, in the pressure point of aching pain inside of him. The orgasm feels like the rolling noise of thunder, the moment you can breathe again after the humidity, tilting your face up to the rain. He gasps through it, and then Lan Chan is there, hand on his thigh, and he's talking very softly, and Wei Ying closes his eyes. When he opens them, Lan Chan is curled into his side, one arm flung over Wei Ying's chest. Wei Ying wriggles his arm down to cup Lan Chan, who is soft and dry in his clean boxer briefs.
"Lan Chan, did you not—"
"I did. While you were under, I came on you."
He sounds pretty embarrassed, which he probably should be, but it's mostly just cute.
"I could not wait."
Wei Ying wriggles his legs. He doesn't feel sticky, except where the dress is bunched up on his stomach. Lan Chan must have cleaned him off.
"Have you no self-control?"
he teases, and Lan Chan buries his face in Wei Ying's chest. Wei Ying strokes his hair. He feels loose-limbed and floaty still. Keep seeing himself in those same flashes, the way his body had felt so utterly free. He kinda wants to put the underwear back on, to feel its cosseting restraints, to see the way he looks in it, soft and sated.
"Do you want to take off the dress?"
Lan Chan asks, hand moving down to pluck at the stiff fabric.
We kinda ruined it, huh?"
"We can get it laundered."
Lan Chan helps him sit up and pulls it over his head, blowing warm air across his chest when Wei Ying shivers.
"Baby, can I get—"
Lan Chan stills, hands half reaching out, ready to grab whatever it is Wei Ying asks for. It's so cute.
"I want to put the lingerie back on, just to feel it."
Lan Chan nods, swift and decisive, and picks his trousers off the floor, fishes the lingerie out, helps Wei Ying put it on again. He was right, it does feel comforting. He likes seeing the tan stripes of his skin broken out by the black, the way the scallop lace softens the lines of him. Lan Chan watches him with warm eyes before settling himself back along Wei Ying's side.
"You were good for me," he tells Wei Ying.
"Thank you." Wei Ying can take a compliment. He can. He's been practicing. "I want to do the thing you said, with you picking the toys."
"Yes."
Lan Chan's voice sounds slightly brittle, and Wei Ying waits, patiently, squeezing his shoulders.
"I did not only buy clothes,"
Lan Chan confesses eventually. Wei Ying knew he should have delayed his trip by a day, been with Lan Chan in the aftermath of dinner with his uncle. He's always clingy afterwards, and Wei Ying had not been there to be clung to. If only it hadn't been term time, and then Lan Chan could have come with him and avoided the whole situation completely.
Hmm?
He tries to make it as non-judgmental as possible, only idly curious.
I got us soy candles for wax play. Different colors so they will look beautiful on your skin. And a spreader bar. And a new sex blanket. It is waterproof and machine washable.
He adds, a little defensively.
Waterproof is good.
Wei Ying pulls him in tighter, and Lan Chan lays a hand across his chest, tracing the pattern of the flowers.
I'm sorry I wasn't here. Do not apologize. I am glad you could see your family. You've been missing them. I'm glad you were able to tell them in person.
Still, if only Aling had been born in the holidays like a sensible baby.
If only, Lan Chan says, dry.
He reaches across for the blanket, pulls it over both of them, slings a leg over Wei Ying's. Secure, safe, belted in place.
Nap time, he says, and his voice brooks no argument at all.
Hey, when do you want to go to Huaisong's show this week?
Toward the end of the week, if possible.
Two okay signal emojis.
I'm going to see the new Batman with Anning on Thursday, so Friday? Wait, when is your brother going?
He is attending the opening on Monday. Friday works. Heart emoji.
Okay, perfect. I'll text Sung Sung and get us tickets for Friday.
Prayer hands emoji.
Babe, are you still in school?
No, I have finished for the day. I have private lessons this evening, however.
Yeah. But you're not with students right now?
Weighing.
Lan Chan, can we see this weekend?
Yes.
20 exclamation points. Thirsty emoji, heart face emoji, prayer hands emoji.
I have some ideas.
3 tongue sticking out emojis.
So do I.
Wei Ying is late to Huaisong's art show, which means that Lan Chan is already there when he arrives. He dodges 2 scantily clad art students waving canapes and cranes his neck until he spots Lan Chan. He's being hit on by some weirdo in a Burberry trench coat, half a foot shorter than Lan Chan, but still leaning forward into his space, oblivious of the way Lan Chan holds himself stiffly apart. Wei Ying frowns and barges through the crowd, slinging an arm around Lan Chan's waist, relishing the way Lan Chan relaxes into him, without even looking over to see who it is.
This is my... he begins and then freezes for a second. My Wei Ying.
Wei Ying squeezes his waist to show that he doesn't mind the stutter and sticks his other hand out to the stranger.
Hi, I'm his Wei Ying.
The stranger takes his hand like it's something slimy and sort of wipes his fingers along Wei Ying's palm. It's the worst handshake he's ever experienced.
Su Shi.
Wei Ying ignores the introduction, turning instead to Lan Chan. Hey, sweetheart, we should go say hi to Song Song. They'll be mad if we don't present ourselves. He steals Lan Chan away without another word, but Lan Chan pulls them in the opposite direction to where Huaisong is entertaining a crowd of ardent admirers, leading them into the corridor that leads to the galley's storage area, quiet and cool.
I am sorry, Lan Chan says, as soon as they're alone. I should have anticipated introducing you at some point.
Hey.
Wei Ying hates it when Lan Chan feels guilty, hates the awful crumple of his eyebrows.
It's fine. You didn't even say it, and I like being your Wei Ying. You're used to saying it. It's fine. I'm sorry you have to... I know you like having me be your boyfriend. I know you were looking forward to saying husband.
You'll still be mine.
Lan Chan is looking stubborn now.
That is what is important.
Right, but, I mean, you can still say it sometimes. Sometimes I'll be your boyfriend, but sometimes I just... You could say partner. Would that be okay?
Lan Chan pulls him in, hands on his waist.
They're wearing the jumpsuits, and Lan Chan's hands accentuate how tiny Wei Ying's waist looks in it.
That feels good,
he tells Lan Chan, whispering it into his ear. He thinks Lan Chan might be wearing his boots with the heel, emphasizing their height difference. That's good, too.
Are you sure you're...
Of course. I like you being my boyfriend, but I like you being just mine more,
Lan Chan says, wholly matter-of-fact.
I could say lover.
Not in front of our siblings. Do not say that in front of our siblings.
But other people?
Lan Chan's hands tighten on his waist and Wei Ying nods, steeling himself against a lifetime of embarrassment as Lan Chan goes around introducing him to strangers as his lover.
I'm still sorry. You had it all in your head, I know you did, what things were going to look like, and I've just...
He shrugs, shuffles from foot to foot, tries to convey with his body how it feels, this shifting.
Lan Chan frowns at him, looking perplexed. I pictured us. That is not changing. And we get to have new things, too.
If you're sure, Wei Ying says, hesitant, and Lan Chan bends down to kiss him, pressing certainty into every hitching breath. It is Wei Ying who has to peel them apart, reluctant, has to lead them to Huaisong and allow themselves to be shoved around the gallery as they explore the grand artistic vision at the center of the show. Wei Ying watches Lan Chan's serious, interested face, watches the way Huaisong lights up when they get to the final piece. A sculptural fabric piece that makes Wei Ying think of flying and drowning all at once. Wei Ying takes pictures of Huaisong with it until they stop pretending to hide behind their fan and pose, proud and happy, just as beautiful as the art behind them. Wei Ying's forgotten, between his family and work and the thinning time he's had with Lan Chan, what it's like to be surrounded by his friends, to be in a space full of queer people. Who don't blink twice at what Huaisong is wearing, or the three drag queens in the corner, or he and Lan Chan holding hands, and Lan Chan introducing him to yet another of Huaisong's art student interns as My Wei Ying. He's forgotten what it's like just to float along the seafoam bubble of it all, and not to have to think about his hands or his voice, or which of his co-workers voted red last election. He's out and proud, and he talks about Lan Chan as much as he can. But it's different like this, and he knows Lan Chan feels it too. Knows it by how Lan Chan turns to talk to one of the queens without looking at Wei Ying first. By the way he reaches out to trace his fingers along the shape of one of Huaisong's pieces, an inch away from actually touching it. Wei Ying is smiling as they leave, drags Lan Chan to the bus stop with a spring in his step, and thinks about how small he'd felt with Lan Chan holding him, and how he'd felt big enough to fill the room afterwards. And he hugs the grab rail in giddy delight. It's raining now, and the world stretches out before them in blinking, blurred red and yellow light, fracturing into pieces every time Wei Ying turns his head. A little like him, he thinks, a little like raindrops sliding down the window, catching different colors with every dripping inch. Wei Ying wakes up with a headache. Lan Chan's not in bed, and he already feels clumsy big, too aware of the breadth of his shoulders and the muscle of his thighs. He wraps himself in the blanket and shuffles into the kitchen, trying to avoid looking in the bedroom mirror, or at his warped black shine reflection in the front of the oven. Lan Chan has his headphones on, doing his marking at the kitchen table, and Wei Ying drapes himself over his back, snuffling at his neck.
Did you sleep well?
Wei Ying shrugs, and Lan Chan takes his headphones off, looking concerned.
Wei Ying.
I feel really fucking weird, Lan Chan. Like, the most girl I get, I think. Everything feels really wrong.
He feels like a shell, like a crackable facsimile of a person. And too big, much too big, oversized and grotesque. Like the summer he'd had his growth spurt and everything hurt and he kept tripping over stuff all the time.
Lan Chan pulls him into his lap, and Wei Ying wishes he was wearing more layers, wishes he was wearing nothing at all, anything that would stop the itching of his skin. I am sorry, Ying Mei.
Lan Chan kisses his neck, half blanket, half skin, and Wei Ying sort of wants to cry.
We don't have to play today if you don't want to.
Can you tell me what you want to do? I know I said I wanted a surprise this weekend, but I think, actually... Sorry.
Of course.
Lan Chan kisses him again, his ear this time, hot and wet, ocean breathing.
I wanted to use the candles. I wanted to tie you up and make art on your skin.
Oh.
Wing's breath is coming a little quicker, just thinking about it.
Oh, that sounds good. So you wouldn't... Can I wear underwear? I want that. I want what you said, but I don't want... No, this is dumb. This is dumb. Never mind. We'll do what you said.
Wing. Lan Chan pulls back. Wing, tell me what you are not comfortable with.
It's an order, that's clear from his voice, and it makes it so much easier, as it always does.
Weying is being good if he tells him, and Weying wants to be good.
I don't want you to touch my dick,
he says, his voice very small.
Like, at all. Today, I mean, not ever, obviously.
That is fine. What about your chest? You may take time to think about it if you need. If you are unsure, we will not do it. If you change your mind, I will stop. That is non-negotiable.
Weying pauses, tries to feel the way his ribs contract and expand with each breath, brings a hand up to pat at his chest over the blanket.
I think it's okay. I think it'll mostly be the wax, right? So that's okay.
Good. Good girl. Thank you.
Lan Chen kisses him, sweet and brief.
I want us to debrief afterward. I think it will be helpful for us both.
He laughs when Weying groans. Lan Chan's therapist has got him super into journaling, which is great for Lan Chan because he loves stationery and he has beautiful handwriting and his feelings all make sense when they're written down in flowing script. But Weying feels like an inkblot personified every time he tries.
I will write,
Lan Chan reassures him, kisses him again.
I must finish this. Do you need a list?
Weying nods. He feels too big again, even sitting in Lan Chan's lap, and he can feel where his thoughts are fraying, scatty and distracted. Lan Chan tightens his grip.
Eat breakfast, shower, put on something that makes you feel safe. Tell me if you can't decide what to wear. Call Wen Ning or Ting Jie if he is not available. Get out our blanket with plastic backing and the candles, the same ones we did the allergy test with, and the soft leather ankle and wrist cuffs, and place them on the bed. Tie up your hair and strip down to your underwear. Come and get me when you're done. Tell me if you forget what is next or what to get out. I will not be annoyed. Do you understand?
Another nod and Lan Chan smiles, gentle and small. The little lilting upturn that means Weying has done something right. He kind of just wants to curl up at Lan Chan's feet and sleep. Escape the pounding in the back of his head. But Lan Chan is right. He needs to eat breakfast, at least.
Weying shaves his legs in the shower, borrowing Lan Chan's fancy razor to do it. He feels a little more grounded after he does, after he can run his fingers down the silky smooth skin, enough that he gets it together enough to moisturize and find some clothes that aren't just clean pajamas, to call Wen Ning before he can tell himself that Wen Ning doesn't want to be bothered.
Wen Ning is always the most calming person to talk to, always gentle. He'd been the third person Weying had come out to both times, and both times he's greeted the news with an all-encompassing hug and a huge grin, as if Weying had just won some sort of award. They dissect the new Batman movie for 45 minutes. Weying has some very strong feelings about the soundtrack, which is what comes of living with a musician. And when he hangs up, he feels strong enough to open the sex toy drawer and find everything Lan Chan had mentioned. Their sex blankets sit in a separate pile in Lan Chan's big wooden blanket box, and Weying rootles through that until he finds the right one. He lays them all out on the bed, neatly, like he knows Lan Chan likes, and after some thought, gets the blindfold out too. It's a risk, given Lan Chan hasn't listed it, but he thinks he might get away with it. He strips down to his boxers with shaking hands, trying not to touch his hips or his dick as he takes off his trousers and goes to find Lan Chan. Lan Chan stands up and kisses him as soon as he walks into the kitchen, running his big warm hands all over Weying's back.
So good for me, he says, soothing.
He picks up the fire extinguisher that lives in the kitchen and leads Weying by the hand back to the bedroom. He stills when he sees the blindfold, tilts his head questioningly.
Is that what you need?
Yeah,
Weying says frankly, and Lan Chan nods. He's a little leery of blindfolds post the Shibari incident, and Weying squeezes his hands in thanks, trying to project absolute confidence in his decision. Lan Chan cuffs him first, spread-eagled on the bed, and Wei Ying feels the familiar tingling awareness of being exposed, of not being able to curl up and hide, of Lan Shan being able to see all of him. He's glad he asked for the blindfold, so he doesn't actually have to see what Lan Shan sees right now. Lan Shan ties that too, and Wei Ying blinks into the silken dark and exhales. He feels lighter suddenly, only aware of the restraints and the sheets beneath him, and not the heavy burden of his body.
Color?
The most green. He smiles, wide and cheeky, so that Lan Shan will laugh and kiss him.
I will take pictures during. You can look at them afterwards if you want to, or whenever you wish to in the future.
He kisses Wei Ying's stomach, and then there's the sound of the pot unscrewing and a liquid dripping, and then Lan Shan's hands are sliding along his chest and arms and stomach and thighs, slick with oil.
So it is easier to get the wax off afterwards, Lan Shan tells him. You can explain the physics to me later if you'd like.
Because he knows that Wei Ying loves to talk about the science of everyday things and the science of what they do together and click it into cogwheels in his head. Wei Ying's eyes are heavy beneath the blindfold, and he closes them, stretches out his fingers so that he can better feel the pull of the cuffs. Somewhere above him there is the click of the lighter, and Lan Shan's hand back on his stomach, and then the wax starts to drip. Wei Ying jumps at the first shock of tightening heat, but it isn't burning, just hot, just a line of sensation against his skin, slow and steady. It takes him a second to realize that Lan Shan is tracing around his handprint, and even then he's only certain when Lan Shan moves his hand and starts the process again, higher up Wei Ying's chest. He sinks into it, tries to picture the shapes on the blank canvas inside his head. He thinks Lan Shan writes his name at one point. He definitely feels the cow radical. But things get smeary after that as Lan Shan keeps adjusting the pace, the velocity of the drips, daubing the wax on with his fingertips occasionally, pinching Wei Ying's skin with wax-warm hands, leaving little flakes behind. His skin is a riot of sensation, too much for him to possibly focus on anything else, too much to think about how he looks, or what else his body is feeling when his whole self is straining to anticipate Lan Shan's next move. He doesn't know how much time has passed when Lan Shan finally stops. The wax is hardening on his skin, pulling it taut, and Lan Shan taps it with his fingers, resonant, vibrating through Wei Ying's skin where it sticks to it.
I am going to take pictures now, Lan Shan tells him. I have my phone right here, so if I am quiet, it is because I am concentrating, not because I have gone.
He shuffles forward so that his knees press into Wei Ying's side, and Wei Ying nods blearily, tries to move to touch him before he remembers he can't, and moans, pleased at the reminder. The tightness of the wax, the restraint, all of it makes it feel like his whole body is straining upwards, like his whole body is one tightly strung bow, arching up to where Lan Shan hovers above him, breathing steadily. Lan Shan spends a very long time taking pictures, but there is always a part of him touching Wei Ying, a foot or an elbow or the brush of his hair, and Wei Ying can breathe as long as he is touched, as long as the bow is not loosed. He hears Lan Shan put his phone down. He moves so that he's sitting astride Wei Ying, beginning to peel off the wax, leveraging it with something hard and plasticky. It feels almost more sensitive coming off, the sudden loosening of the skin, the sudden rush of cooling air as each piece is loosened. Lan Shan releases the cuffs, and Wei Ying feels his limbs sag, back to being limbs again, back to being things that can hold him up and move.
Blindfold? Lan Shan asks, hands gently on Wei Ying's face.
Wei Ying shakes his head, and Lan Shan scoops him up, wraps him up in the blanket, and takes him into the bathroom, where he starts running the bath. He talks to Wei Ying as he does so, tells him how good he looked, how well he stayed still, how good it made Lan Shan feel to see him like that, all pliant and multicolored.
A change from your normal aesthetic, Lan Shan remarks, and Wei Ying has enough of himself back to laugh
and to prod Lan Shan on his side reprovingly.
Don't they have black candles, Lan Shan? No respect for the goths in your life, I see how it is.
Lan Shan hums noncommittally, terrible troll that he is, and turns off the tap, wincing a little bit at the sudden cessation of noise. Wei Ying reaches up, and Lan Shan helps him take the blindfold off. It's mostly dark in the bathroom, just a little bit of winter daylight sneaking in through the crystallized glass. But Wei Ying still has to blink slowly until he adjusts after so long in the black. Lan Chan's ears are flushed and his eyes look very dark, his bottom lip swollen where he's been biting it in concentration. He swallows hard, his throat bobbing as he watches Wei Ying, and Wei Ying smirks.
I'm glad it was good for you too, our Gukka.
He lifts his hands up and Lan Chan stands and pulls him up too, stripping off his own clothes with ruthless efficiency. He looks at Wei Ying, at his boxers, and Wei Ying shrugs.
I know it's stupid, but I'm going to wear them in the bath.
They stay soaking for a very long time, Lan Chan running more hot water every time it gets too cool, until their fingers and toes are pruney, and Wei Ying feels warm all over, all his skin soap slippery and smooth, no wax left on him at all. Wei Ying blows Lan Chan as he perches on the edge of the bath, hands gripping onto it for dear life, toes curling against the bath mat. And Wei Ying smiles as he sits back on his heels, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand. Lan Chan holds his chin with one hand and bends down to kiss the cum out of Wei Ying's mouth, familiarly filthy, and doesn't move to touch Wei Ying anywhere else at all.
You're my favorite person in the world, do you know that?
Wei Ying tells him later, pajama clad, sitting in the middle of the floor as he takes apart the inside of the vacuum cleaner so that he can make it work better.
And you are mine,
Lan Chan says back, easy as anything.
Wei Ying.
Wei Ying looks up from where he's finally cracked open the motor to see Lan Chan brandishing a pen in his journal.
Can I stay here? Or I can sit with you, but can I bring the motor with me?
Lan Chan looks at the motor with distaste. He'd made Wei Ying put newspaper down first when Wei Ying had first announced his intention. He frowns, stands up, and fetches the sex blanket out of the laundry basket, putting it down on the floor next to Wei Ying so that they can sit together.
Okay.
Wei Ying can appreciate a compromise when it's being given to him.
Step by step?
I liked that you could not move. I liked having you as my canvas.
Me too. I really liked the blindfold. I wanted to feel really immobilized, like more than I already was.
He thinks about it. There'd been a point when he twitched his head and felt his neck and shoulders jump, and it had been a sudden jarring moment of awareness that he hadn't wanted.
Maybe I should wear my high collar too.
Your hips were moving also. I did not want to press down in case I accidentally touched you where you did not wish to be touched. But I could get additional anchors and tie your hips down.
Yeah, that sounds,
Wei Ying turns a piece of tubing over in his hand and glares at it. It's 2 millimeters too thick. Whoever designed this is a moron.
Good. Worth trying for sure.
Lan Chan writes it down. I liked the wax.
He stops, but Wei Ying just nods and Lan Chan ticks something on the page.
I like taking pictures of you.
Can we write down that I like it in principle, but since I haven't seen the pictures yet, I'm not committing to a solid yes?
We can.
Are you going to jerk off to them while I'm away?
Lan Chan has a whole password protective folder on his phone of pictures he's taken, or that Wei Ying has sent him. Sometimes when they're apart, Lan Chan sends him screenshots of the pictures that are fueling his fantasies that evening.
I expect so,
Lan Chan says, utterly unrepentant.
Then good. That's good enough for me.
Wei Ying picks up his screwdriver and starts taking apart the inner casing.
I like that you didn't take it off immediately, that you let me sit with it, so the picture time works well for that anyway.
Good. I didn't like...
Lan Chan stops, looks down at his pen. This is the bit they both find hard. He looks at his pen again as if it might hold the answers.
The blowjob was good.
But?
Wei Ying prompts.
I wanted to come on your face or on your chest, mixed up with the wax. I wanted all my marks to be on you. I wanted to bite you in between the shapes.
You could have.
Wei Ying sets down the motor and looks at Lan Chan. His hair is braided around his face, making him look younger somehow.
When have I ever said no to any of that?
You were not hard.
Wei Ying blinks at him. He hadn't noticed,
hadn't even thought about it. It hadn't seemed important. "Did that upset you?" he asks carefully. Maybe it did. They were not having sex, exactly. It hadn't been sex for Wei Ying. But maybe it had been for Lan Chan? But Lan Chan is already shaking his head.
"No, that was not what you needed. You just needed to be still. I did not want to make it about something else, something you did not want."
Wei Ying shrugs, lets the metal fall from his hands. He doesn't know how to tell Lan Chan that even when Wei Ying doesn't really care about getting off, he doesn't mind if Lan Chan does. Lan Chan sneaks off to the bathroom to masturbate sometimes, and Wei Ying sort of wishes he wouldn't, would rather have the sex smell and sweat of Lan Chan next to him in bed, even if he doesn't want anything to do with it himself. It's nice to know that Lan Chan has a body that clicks along differently to Wei Ying's sometimes. It's nice to know that Lan Chan has a body that works and wants things, even when Wei Ying's doesn't.
"I want you to take what you want," he says.
"I want... Lan Chan, I mean it. I'm not being a self-sacrificing nightmare here, I promise. If you want to come, I want you to come. You can ask if you want, or you can tell me and I can say for it if I don't want it. But I... not even in a scene. It doesn't have to be in a scene. You always..."
"I do not want to make you feel pressured."
"I know. I know, and I know it's been..." "I'm not going to apologize again. I know that fucking sucks, but I mean it. Even if I'm wearing 8 layers and I have a cold, I would rather you get your dick out lying next to me looking at pictures of me tied up for you than feel like you have to sneak off to do it."
Lan Chan blinks at him. Wei Ying knows he doesn't understand, because Lan Chan has never once not wanted to have sex when Wei Ying has, and so he's just trying to be considerate the best way he knows how, by being quiet and unobtrusive and by getting out of the way. Unfortunately for him, Wei Ying doesn't believe in any of those things.
"I promise. I'll tell you if I change my mind, but I promise that's what I want, okay?"
Lan Chan nods. He writes something down in his journal. Wei Ying ardently hopes it just says, "Jerk off in front of Wei Ying, it's fine." "Is there anything else?" Lan Chan asks.
Wei Ying shakes his head and Lan Chan kisses him, picks up the flat-edged screwdriver, and starts helping Wei Ying take the rest of the motor apart.
Lan Chan takes notes well. Wei Ying has always known that, but he's still a little thrilled when he spends the whole of Sunday wearing his red dress and thick tights and his old dance belt and adamantly not wanting to do anything except hug, and Lan Chan crawls him to bed with him anyway.
"I want..."
he begins, and Wei Ying turns to him, props himself up on one elbow.
"Yeah, baby?"
"I need to touch myself. I want you to watch. You do not have to do anything else."
So Wei Ying watches as Lan Chan touches himself, his eyes never leaving Wei Ying's face, until he is on the verge of coming, and then his eyes scrunch up, his mouth falling open, and he gasps as he spills over his fist. Wei Ying leans over to hand him tissues and kisses him.
"Thank you. It's..."
This is going to sound dumb, probably, but Lan Chan is looking a little unsure, so he's going to say it anyway. "It's like, even when I don't want to fuck you, you're still hot. It's just... it's good to see it, regardless. I really like it. I like watching you feel good."
Lan Chan's eyes light up at that last sentence, finally seizing on something that makes sense. And Wei Ying laughs into his mouth, pulls him down so that they can cuddle, Lan Chan's naked skin pressed up against his cotton layers, warm and safe and comfortable. Wei Ying wakes up 3 weekends later and stumbles into the bathroom to piss and thinks, "Boy." He feels stompy, which maybe shouldn't feel like a gender thing, but absolutely does. It's a cold morning, mid-December now, and in their bedroom he pulls on his hoodie over his pajamas and tucks his trousers into an old pair of Jiang Cheng's hockey socks and pads out into the living room to find food. Lan Chan's still at the community center, but he's left pancake mix on the countertop with a bunny patent tea towel over the bowl and cut up berries and nectarines on a plate next to it because he's the best boyfriend in the world. He does, at least, appear to trust Wei Ying to figure out the flipping situation by himself. Wei Ying is just licking the last of the syrup off his fingertips when Lan Chan arrives home, door bang and clatter of keys in the bowl signaling his arrival. He smiles at Wei Ying and unrolls the paper in his hand to show him an elaborate finger painting of a sort of man who is being stabbed in the neck violently by a large object. What the fuck?
Lan Chan looks almost offended. It is me playing the violin.
Wei Ying squints at the picture. He can sort of see that, he guesses. And who is responsible for this masterpiece?
Lan Jingyi,
Lan Chan admits. Lan Jingyi is a distant cousin and an absolute terror, and therefore Lan Chan's favorite kid at the community center.
Ah, well, we'll have to put that up on the fridge then, in pride of place.
For a moment, he lets himself think about the day when they'll have their own child's paintings up, and a fresh, content warmth spreads through him.
Beautiful,
Lan Chan says, watching him smile, and Wei Ying drops his fork.
He doesn't mean to. He doesn't even realize what's happened at first. Lan Chan has called him beautiful a million times in the last year, both before Wei Ying came out and since then on boy days and almost girl days and everything in between.
But today it feels wrong coming out of his mouth, covered with a slippery, condescending sheen that Wei Ying knows Lan Chan doesn't mean at all.
Wei Ying.
He stops. He wants to get angry because that would be easier. He wants to yell about this, wants to scream at how unfair it is that he can't let Lan Chan love him in the way he always has done, that he keeps tripping over things he's never even considered, that have nothing to do with all these stupid new rules he's set and still make him feel nauseated, utterly askew. He's not going to yell. He's not going to yell at Lan Chan, who hasn't done anything wrong, and he's not going to yell at himself either, because he didn't pick this. Good. Good talking down. Excellent. 10 out of 10 for therapy yet again.
He takes a deep, hollowing breath and realizes Lan Chan is still staring at him.
It's a boy day.
Lan Chan nods slowly, clearly not understanding.
I know this is stupid because you're a man and I call you beautiful all the time, but I need to know you know I'm different from yesterday, that I feel different. So I need you not to say that. If you're not sure, you can ask me or you can say something else.
Lan Chan reaches for his hand and Wei Ying takes it.
It's not your fault, he adds quickly. We didn't talk about it. I didn't even know till just now that it would, but it does, so.
Of course.
Lan Chan kisses their joined hands.
You are very handsome, good looking.
Wei Ying laughs because Jiang Cheng and jostles Lan Chan's hand in his. Not that one, don't be mean. Try some more.
He preens a little, letting Lan Chan relax into him.
Lovely, attractive, bewitching, other things also. Smart, considerate, a fierce critic of art.
They both laugh at that, and Lan Chan climbs into Wei Ying's lap,
lets him take the full weight of him, lets him feel strong and supportive.
Charming, has the best smile in the world. My boyfriend?
The last is a little bit of a question, and Wei Ying nods, and Lan Chan kisses him on the mouth, licking the last of the maple syrup from his lips.
How was the center? Wei Ying asks, once Lan Chan is drawn back.
Good. I am glad I took your overalls. It was messy. They enjoyed it, though, I think. We did color words today.
Did you teach them your family name?
Yes, with Jingyi. He was very excited. I think that is why he drew the picture.
They both turn to look at it again. Wei Ying supposes that might be the character for Lan, hovering in the middle of the sky, if one is very generous.
I can see that.
He squeezes Lan Chan tight around the middle, squints up at him. He feels properly horny now at Lan Chan's home, desperate for it in a way he hasn't been for a couple of weeks. Like he might fall apart if Lan Chan doesn't wreck him first.
This is a terrible segue from the adorable art of small children, he starts, and Lan Chan looks immediately delighted, brain going straight to where Wei Ying wants it.
But I want you to really fuck me up, Chan Chan. Will you do that for me?
Yes.
Lan Chan leans in to kiss him, bruising.
Go and shower and find your harness for me. I will be in the bedroom. I want you to kneel by the bed wearing nothing but your harness, and I will tell you what to do.
Fuck.
Wei Ying moans into Lan Chan's mouth. He loves him, he loves him, he loves him. Lan Chan had clearly been listening when Wei Ying had said, really fuck me up. Because he's hardly fallen to his knees before Lan Chan is spinning on his heel and slapping him hard across the face. Wei Ying gasps at the crack, his whole body tipping sideways, and his brain falls immediately blissfully silent.
He doesn't say anything at all as Lan Chan directs him to stand up, to lie down on the blanket on the bed. He lifts his ankles obediently for Lan Chan to fit the cuffs of the spreader bar, whimpering as they push his legs into a painful stretch. There's a wedge pillow under his hips, forcing them up so that his hole is on display too. Lan Chan moves Wei Ying's arms so that they cross along his chest, thumbs hooked into the loops of his harness, fingers coming up to gently cup his own throat. "Do not move," Lan Chan says. "If you move your hands or your head, you will be punished. The only thing you may say is my name or your color."
"Lan Chan,"
Wei Ying says, a pathetic attempt at cheek. He feels wild, utterly out of his mind. Already just a clean slate for Lan Chan to break in half. Lan Chan picks up the violet wand and it crackles in his hand. He's wearing gloves, Wei Ying notices. He put them on after he'd slapped Wei Ying, let Wei Ying feel the rough press of his fingertips first. He's so good to him. Lan Chan trails the wand along Wei Ying's thighs, and Wei Ying bites his lips to stop himself from jerking up. When they've done this before, it's mostly been a tickle of electricity, but this is higher, right on the edge of real pain, every nerve crackling alight at the touch. Lan Chan is teasing him, long strokes along his legs, up by his hips. He won't touch his chest with it, so he can only go lower again, circling where it will hurt the most, where Wei Ying needs him so badly.
"Lan Chan," he whimpers. "Lan Chan."
Makes Lan Chan's name into a prayer, into a plea. His legs are shaking, jumping sideways in their cuffs, and Lan Chan tuts impatiently.
"You must try and hold still, Wei Ying."
"Lan Chan, Lan Chan, Lan Chan,"
Wei Ying chants, holding his legs still through sheer force of will. And Lan Chan brings the wand up, just tracing it along the very root of his dick. And Wei Ying muffles a scream, digs his fingernails into the skin of his neck, to stop himself from pushing away from the touch. Lan Chan doesn't stop, keeps going lower, switching the wattage down so that he can tease at Wei Ying's perineum, at his balls, Wei Ying gasping Lan Chan's name over and over again, his dick jerking against his stomach, smearing pre-cum against his skin. He doesn't know how long Lan Chan spends torturing his cock, how long it takes for him to start crying, choked off sobs in between repetitions of Lan Chan. There is blood in his mouth now, bittersweet tang of victory because he still hasn't moved. He hasn't, even though his skin is sore, and everything from the waist down feels hypersensitive and alight. He's been so good, he knows he has, and Lan Chan must know it too, for all his cruelty. He stops eventually. He stops when Wei Ying's face is swollen and snotty with tears, when there is blood on his tongue where he pants for breath. He switches off the wand and places it very carefully aside, unlocks the cuffs, discards the bar, takes Wei Ying's fingers and massages life back into them, the warmth of the leather softening the sting of pins and needles.
"Get on your hands and knees," he says, once Wei Ying can move his hands and legs again. "You do not have to keep yourself from making noises this time. I want to hear you scream, Ma Ying, and I will not stop until you do."
Wei Ying hasn't stopped crying, not really, and this provokes a fresh round of sobs, even as he gets on his knees, sore and shaking. He's so hard, and he knows absolutely, down to his bones, that if he comes before Lan Chan wants him to, it will not end well for him. Lan Chan preps him perfunctorily, two fingers at once, briefly scissoring them apart with minimal lube. Wei Ying had fingered himself a little in the shower, but he's tensed up since then, and Lan Chan's movements are harsh, practiced, rubbing against Wei Ying's prostate ruthlessly. He already feels overstimulated, and he hasn't even come, doesn't even have Lan Chan's cock in him. And then he does, quick brutal slide, and he cries out, face pressed into the pillow. Lan Chan fucks him like he barely cares that Wei Ying is there. He has one hand on the shoulder strap of the harness, pulling Wei Ying's back into a painful arc, so that his ass presses more firmly onto Lan Chan's cock. That hand is tangled in Wei Ying's hair, where it falls across his shoulders and back, snagging in it every time he adjusts his grip, impatiently tugging through it. Wei Ying's throat is sore from how much noise he's making, begging for it to stop in the same breath as he begs for more. He can barely hear the slap of Lan Chan's balls against his ass, crisp and filthy, over the sound of his own ragged breathing. Lan Chan brings his other hand up from Wei Ying's hip and scrapes his nails deliberately across Wei Ying's chest, catching on his nipple, sending him hissing and bucking away from the touch. Lan Chan slaps him viciously when he does so, just as the head of his dick slams into his prostate and Wei Ying screams. He clenches his ass around Lan Chan, desperate, right on the edge, every part of him too much, too perfectly alive, and Lan Chan groans, comes with his teeth in Wei Ying's shoulder, grazing the leather of the harness. He keeps fucking Wei Ying even as he comes, little pulsating thrusts, and Wei Ying sobs as his toes curl, as he begs his body onwards, as he begs his body to give in.
"You have to tell me," he cries. "I can't unless you tell me."
Lan Chan gets his hand underneath Wei Ying, grips his cock. "Come in my hand, Wei Ying, there's a good boy." What can Wei Ying do but obey? It feels like it goes on forever, like everything in him is being wrung out and he's still begging even as the tremors begin to abate. Even as he collapses into the mattress and Lan Chan pulls him against his chest, moving Wei Ying's knees so they won't get stiff.
"Was it good?"
Wei Ying manages eventually, slurring the syllables as they drop from his mouth.
"So good."
"You fucked me up."
He sounds delighted. Everything feels light, his breath filling him like helium.
"You asked for it,"
Lan Chan says, deliberately childish, and then voice trembling slightly.
"I am so glad you did. My Wei Ying, you were perfect."
"It was good?"
Wei Ying thinks he might have asked that before, maybe.
"The best."
Lan Chan kisses his face.
"Was it?"
There's something that's bothering him, he thinks, hard to feel the shape of amidst the pleasant floating fog. He thinks of Lan Chan's possessive hand around his cock, the way he'd said good boy at the end. "Ah."
"Was it better for you because it's a boy day?"
"No."
It's almost a shout, or the closest Lan Chan ever gets to one, properly startled.
"My love, no. If you had wanted it rough on a different day, it would have been just the same. I would. Perhaps I would have made you come untouched. Perhaps I would have told you how wet your pussy gets for me. But I would have enjoyed it just the same."
"Not better?"
"Not better,"
Lan Chan confirms.
"Just my Wei Ying being perfect for me."
"Yours."
He snuggles further into Lan Chan's skin, and Lan Chan doesn't say anything about how the buckles must be digging into his skin.
"I can't believe you made me scream, sweetheart. It's the middle of the day. The neighbors are going to have questions."
"Let them."
Lan Chan sounds dismissive and supremely smug.
"They did not see what you looked like. If they had, they would have understood it was imperative."
Wei Ying shivers, and Lan Chan's hand sneaks down to cup his ass. Wei Ying wriggles and grumbles into Lan Chan's neck until Lan Chan laughs and slips two fingers in, holding his cum inside.
"Greedy boy,"
he chides, but there's no heat to it at all. Wei Ying kisses his neck and thanks, strains upward to reach the hinge of his jaw.
"Still yours, though. You gotta take responsibility."
He thinks he must fall asleep like that, with Lan Chan's fingers in his ass, because he wakes up without his harness on and with a plug replacing Lan Chan's fingers. He reaches around to pat at it, to press it more firmly in.
"You were whining in your sleep when I attempted to clean you,"
Lan Chan tells him. He's definitely laughing at Wei Ying a little bit. Wei Ying can hear it in his voice, but he also sounds darkly possessive. Best of both worlds, really.
"I will take it out later and we can see how much you managed to keep in."
"And you can give me some more?"
Wei Ying asks hopefully. He feels kind of shaky still, but Lan Chan has fucked him rougher than that before. He could take it.
"We'll see."
A second of hesitation, and then Lan Chan rolls and reaches for his phone, and then the glass of water on the bedside table. He helps Wei Ying sit up and drink, and then hands him his phone, too.
"I took pictures," he says. "I wanted you to look. You can delete them afterwards if you want."
Wei Ying is never deleting anything that makes Lan Chan look that wild, something frenzied in his eyes that he's trying to tamp down for Wei Ying's sake. But he hums acquiescence anyway and unlocks Lan Chan's phone. It's already open to the gallery,
And there he is, eyes closed and looking utterly fucked out. He swipes through them, close-ups of the bite mark on his shoulder, the outlines of Lan Chan's teeth clearly visible, not yet clouded by bruising. Lan Chan's right hand as he unbuckles the harness, fingers dexterous, close-ups of the cum leaking out of Wei Ying's ass, of Lan Chan's hand as he pushes it back in, of the plug keeping him filled up, his face, mouth open, tear streaks visible in the golden lamplight, and then Lan Chan's hand on his face, thumb slipping into his mouth, Wei Ying made for taking it even in repose. The pictures are beautiful, a little soft around the edges with the low light, and even frozen, Lan Chan's movements look purposeful, like there's a point to them, like Wei Ying is useful as well as used. "I really like them," he says, knocking his shoulder into Lan Chan's. "I kind of want to paste them up on billboards around town."
I understand the impulse.
Fuck public decency laws, am I right?
Lan Chan smiles and kisses his cheek.
There are more.
How many did you take? Wow, embarrassing, Lan Chan. It's like you're in love with me or something. Have some chill.
Lan Chan ignores him, which Wei Ying deserves, and so he keeps flicking through. His body looks so comfortable, lax in sleep, yes, but more than that, like it's doing what it's supposed to. It's kind of a silly thought, as if it had a whole mind of its own, but Wei Ying likes it anyway, likes the rightness that wraps around him when he thinks it. He swipes again, and suddenly the lighting is different, much brighter. It takes him a second to realize what he's seen. The first photo is an extreme close-up, just abstract blue and red and skin, and then he swipes again, and it's Lan Chan's hand on his stomach outlined in wax, and then...
Wei Ying.
Lan Chan sounds alarmed, but it's suddenly easy to look at himself like this. Not so different, after all. Still the same shapes of him, broken up by the wax, by Lan Chan's marks on him. Lan Chan was right, he does look like art. Something abstract, a little Kandinsky, a little Malevich. He can remember the ways he felt afraid of himself that day, but he doesn't see any of that in the pictures. It doesn't mean it wasn't true, just that when Lan Chan had seen him, he'd seen something else, something beautiful. "I like these too," he says softly. He looks up at Lan Chan, relief like a sunrise on his face, and kisses him and kisses him until their lips are numb and he doesn't know which of their smiles he's wearing. Lan Chan is crying and Wei Ying kind of wants to kill someone. The only reason he hasn't is because Lan Chan needs him to be there, holding him, peppering kisses into his hair, and keeping up a running litany of good ways to murder people without getting caught.
"I still stand by the icicle thing, you know. Hey, Lan Chan, look at me."
He kisses Lan Chan's swollen nose and tugs him more securely into his lap.
"It's okay, whatever it is."
Lan Chan still hasn't said, had just walked through the door looking righteously furious with a black eye and bleeding knuckles. And Wei Ying had mostly sort of thought he might get fucked right after he got Lan Chan an ice pack, except that Lan Chan had taken one look at him, standing in the kitchen, shirtless, wearing short shorts, and Lan Chan's glittery eyeshadow, and burst into tears. He's been crying for 20 minutes straight, despite one half-hearted attempt to stop when Wei Ying had gotten up to call the restaurant and cancel the reservation, after which he'd only started crying harder. Lan Chan does not, as a rule, cry. Not like Wei Ying does. Wei Ying will cry at movies and books and cute children and the impossibility of being a person, and any time Jiang Cheng sends him a link to an article that says, "Thought you might be interested. This is the kind of weird stuff you like, right?" Lan Chan gets a little teary about some of those things, too, but Wei Ying hasn't seen him cry like this since the second year of college, when Wei Ying had disappeared for 2 weeks and everyone thought he was dead. He had, in fairness, been trying pretty hard to be. So, this is bad. It's really bad, and Wei Ying is rapidly running out of reassuring things to say, especially given that he doesn't know what's going on. He's about 3 minutes away from just giving up and calling Lan Huan when Lan Chan blows his nose primly and sits up.
"I apologize,"
he starts, and Wei Ying kisses him before he can say anything else stupid.
"What's up, baby? I'm not kidding about the killing someone. I bet we could get Meng Yao on board, too, and probably Ming Jue if you look sad enough."
Another kiss, right where the ice pack is pressed over Lan Chan's face. Come on, let it all out.
I do not think I have a job any longer,
Lan Chan begins and then stops immediately. That seems crazy, given that you're the best thing to happen to teaching since, like, we stopped beating children. Unless...
He nods at Lan Chan's hands, and then panics when Lan Chan's face creases.
Hey, no, come on, obviously I don't think you hit a child. It's fine, you can be my sugar baby, just like I've always dreamed. And we can live off that sweet wind turbine dollar, and also, like, your extremely wisely invested trust fund, which I prefer not to think about.
We shop organic,
Lan Chan says grumpily,
and support sustainable local businesses.
Shh, I know we do. We're exemplary human beings, and your school knows that. So why do you think you got fired?
I punched Brian.
Brian, Weying is 90% sure, is one of the two balding white guys who teach something that isn't music.
Well, I'm sure Brian deserved it.
Lan Chan is not particularly prone to punching people, although Weying will admit it has become a slightly more pressing threat since Weying came out the second time.
He did.
They sit in silence for a moment, Lan Chan looking mutinous. Do I get any more information here?
You may draw your own conclusions.
Okay. Brian was saying something shitty, probably racist or homophobic, probably about a kid, because you wouldn't get this mad if it was about yourself. Things escalated, you punched him in the face, which, do you know if anyone got video? Is there CCTV footage? Do you think someone would pass that to me? Okay, we can investigate that later. Don't look disapproving at me. I'm not the one who did the punching.
Another kiss for not interrupting.
And you stormed off, and you got home looking all angry and sexy, and then, sweetheart, I still don't get the crying. Was it just an adrenaline thing?
Lan Chan shakes his head and still does not speak.
Okay, Lan Chan, why are you not telling me something? What's got you so upset, eh? You have to tell your Weying these things so I can start effective smear campaigns on Twitter. Or, you know, so I can get Huaisong to do it for me. I will call your union. There will be a march. Hey, come on, we're going to be married, you know. We have to tell each other things.
He means to make Lan Chan smile, to remind him that, no matter what, they have something bright and shining in front of them. But Lan Chan just looks at him in abject despair, eyes filling with tears once more.
Oh no, okay, you don't want to tell me, that's fine, I'm gonna call Huanga, okay?
Lan Chan shakes his head hard and grabs Weying's hand when he reaches for his phone. Please, wait here,
He looks at the clock. Even if Weying hadn't canceled the reservations, they would have missed them by now.
We can go for a walk.
If you want. I mean, it's 8 at night in January, so that seems like a mistake, I'm going to be honest. But if you need...
Lan Chan looks panicked.
Hey, baby, honestly, it's fine. Are you worried about dinner? We can just get takeout and hang out, okay?
Lan Chan shakes his head, and again Weying throws up his hands.
Lan Chan, you gotta give me something. You're freaking me out a little bit, and I don't mind that you're upset. That's fine, I've got you. But I can't... When you won't tell me anything, and you won't let me call Huanga or get us food, or...
I was going to propose.
Lan Chan blurts, and then looks terrified.
Weying feels like his ears are ringing, but Lan Chan has clearly decided he's committed to this now, because he twists round on Weying's lap and puts the ice pack down so that he can take his hands... His left hand is freezing, and Weying tries not to wince, holds on anyway. I had intended to propose. We were going to go to the restaurant where I was going to surprise you with tickets to the light show at the Arboretum. I had your winter gloves already packed. And then we were going to come home, and I was going to propose in the place where we have built our lives together.
Oh.
Weying thinks he might be crying now, too. But his whole face feels sort of frozen, like he's the one with the ice pack.
Is that why, when you saw me...
I wanted it to be perfect. You looked so beautiful, and I could not breathe, thinking that I had ruined it, and then we could have gone anyway, and then I really did ruin it.
Did we miss the Arboretum?
Lan Chan shakes his head. It is not until 9, but you are right, it was a stupid idea. It will be too cold.
Hey, no, I was being a wimp. And a walk in the city in the cold is different. The trees are much better.
I can bring my camera and we can wrap up warm, get our thermals out.
You will be hungry.
Lan-chan, we will get fried wontons from the Chinese place on the literal corner of our street and we will go and look at the pretty trees and I will cry. And then we will come back home and you can propose to me. If I don't beat you to it. No, no, don't look at me like that. I'll let you do it, I promise. And then we can eat ice cream and you can fuck me.
Lan-chan has tears in his eyes again, and Wei-ying sways forward to kiss him, but Lan-chan is already standing up, briskly grabbing things, putting the ice pack back in the freezer, hurrying into their bedroom to fetch their thermal undershirts and the thermal tights Wei-ying has recently purchased. He shoves a pile of thick layers in Wei-ying's hand, and they both struggle into them, Wei-ying jamming his feet into his boots. They walk hand in hand to the restaurant, and Wei-ying flirts shamelessly in Mandarin with the sweet, giggly old woman who runs the place, while Lan-chan brings the car around. He feels like a kid again, almost, bubble light, the secret and effervescent fizzing thing between them.
We're gonna get engaged, Wei-ying thinks, giddy with it. Nobody here knows it, but we're going to get engaged and we're going to spend the rest of our lives together.
Children's laughter spills out between the dark trees, the disbelieving sugar-high delight of being able to stay up past your bedtime. Wei-ying laughs too, swings Lan-chan's hand, looks up at the dazzling purple-pink-blue lights. The trees transformed into something entirely sculptural, architectural. It's the kind of art he loves best, part feat of engineering, part natural beauty, and he can't... It's the best.
You're the best, he tells Lan-chan. You're my best friend and I love you.
You too.
Are you saving it all for the speech? Are you not going to tell me you love me right now because you're worried you're going to blurt it all out? Lan-chan, where is the romance? You got to tell me you love me right now.
He stops walking, drags them slightly off the path, leaves squishy beneath their feet, everything smelling fresh and woodsy. There's a family coming toward them. Mom and Dad, two grumpy teenagers, faces lit ghost pale by the light of their phones. But Wei-ying isn't going to budge until he gets what he wants. Lan-chan waits until the family are scant feet away, and then he leans into Wei-ying's space and says,
I love you.
So seriously that Wei-ying feels himself blush despite the cool air.
Aww,
one of the teenagers says, clapping her hand over her mouth immediately. Wei-ying spins on his heel, thrilled.
Right? He's going to propose to me later. It's going to be the best.
The teenager looks a little confused, but Wei-ying doesn't care, dragging Lan-chan forward by the hand. There's got to be at least one hollow tree he can jam Lan-chan into so he can take pictures of all of his best forest elf fantasies. They just have to find it. Wei-ying's still talking about the final lights display and about how difficult it would be to replicate something like that for their houseplants. When they walk through the door of their apartment, they shuck off their layers, their boots and hats and gloves, and Wei-ying goes to switch the kettle on for hot chocolate, jumping up onto the kitchen countertop and wrapping his legs around Lan-chan.
So, where do you want to do it?
Lan-chan frowns. It was going to be a surprise.
He's back to being a little grumpy, which is fine. Wei-ying gets it. He's a planner, and he likes his plans to go smoothly.
You can surprise me later. You gonna fuck a baby into me now we're engaged, Lan-chan?
We are not engaged yet.
Wei-ying drums his heels against Lan-chan's back and gestures outwards wildly, a clear, well, get on with it then.
Lan-chan reaches up for him, lifting him straight off the countertop and carrying him into the living room, away from the noise of the bubbling kettle.
He pauses and then marches straight through to the bedroom, Wei-ying grinning against the top of his head. He places Wei-ying down on the edge of the bed and kneels, gets something out of his pocket. There's a ring box in his hand. Somehow, in the midst of all the excitement, Wei-ying had forgotten about the rings.
Wei-ying. Wei-ying, my...
Lan-chan's voice cracks straight down the middle and Wei-ying bursts into tears.
Oh no, Lan-chan, you should have just written it down. Can we just... I accept. I say yes. You can fuck me now. I can't...
Wei-ying.
Lan-chan's voice is stern even through the tears.
I will do this properly. This is what you deserve.
He gathers himself, clearing his throat.
Wei-ying, I have loved you since we were children, and still I am astonished by how much more I love you every day. I did not think I would ever get to love anybody like this, and I am grateful for it always. And I am all the more grateful that it is you. You have taught me. Wei Ying, stop hiding and look at me. You have taught me more about being myself than anything in the world. I am so proud of you and so proud to be yours, and I want that to be the case always. We are Zijin now and always, but I want you to be my spouse.
No,
Wei Ying moans.
No, you promised.
Wei Ying, will you marry me?
Yes, fuck. Do you have one too? Let's put them on, and then I need to clean my face.
But then engaged people sex right after I've done that.
Wei Ying reaches for the ring box, and Lan Chan takes the ring out. It's on a filigree chain, almost a match for the one Lan Chan wears around his neck.
I can wear mine on my hand, but I thought it might be difficult with your work, he explains, and Wei Ying cries harder, bends his head so that Lan Chan can fasten the necklace.
Oh no, we match.
Now you can put this in your mouth instead. I asked the jeweler, she said that was safe. I think she assumed we had a baby.
Oh my god. Oh, that's so... I am still definitely going to put yours in my mouth, you have to know that. But, oh my god, Lan Chan. A baby eating our engagement rings. My engagement ring, yours is a choking hazard. Oh my god, Lan Chan.
I know.
Lan Chan holds out his hand and the other ring and helps Wei Ying slide it on. Both their hands are shaking. Wei Ying feels lit up from the inside, like all of his limbs should be outlined in neon. He feels as sure of his shape as he ever has been, as sure of where he is and where he's supposed to be, every part of him exactly as solid as it should be, shot through with joy. Lan Chan kneels up and kisses him, deep and exploratory.
I believe, he says, intent enough to send goosebumps prickling up Wei Ying's arms, that we have a baby to make.
I know.
Wei Ying laughs again as Zhe Zhe squeals in delight yet again, adjusts his elbows where he's leaning against the countertop.
He's wifing me up at last.
He turns as Lan Chan comes up behind him, sneaking one hand up Wei Ying's skirt and mouths Zhe Zhe at him. Lan Chan removes his hand, looking only moderately chastened, bringing it up to wrap around Wei Ying's waist instead. Wei Ying is acutely aware of the plug that sits inside him, one of the big metal decorative ones that does fuck all for stimulation, but does an extremely good job of keeping everything inside. Lan Chan leans his head against Wei Ying's shoulder.
Hello, Jie,
he says, and there's an excited scrabble of sound from the other end that makes him laugh.
Let me talk to my new brother,
Yanli demands, and Wei Ying laughs again, hands Lan Chan the phone. Lan Chan stays wrapped around him as he speaks to Zhe Zhe, soft smile playing around his mouth, contentment thrumming through Wei Ying like a bass note.
Is that what he said?
Lan Chan shoots Wei Ying a teasing look, and Wei Ying does his best to look innocent.
No, we both cried. It was very sweet. Yes, I spoke to him this morning. He said he would email you this afternoon.
He mouths something at Wei Ying, but Wei Ying is too distracted by the shape of his mouth to parse the meaning.
Yes, Wei Ying said. I am very much looking forward to him being my wife. I do not think we will wait as long as Chengdi wishes.
Wei Ying can hear Zhe Zhe laugh at the other end of the line, high and bright even through the faded echo.
I will. Thank you, Jie. Thank you.
He blushes suddenly, pink splashed across his face.
You also.
He passes the phone back to Wei Ying and slips his hand back underneath his skirt, just resting on the bottom of Wei Ying's ass, more comforting than anything else. His chin is back on Wei Ying's shoulder, his eyes closed.
Ah, Mei Mei, I'm so happy for you,
Yanli says, and Wei Ying laughs, wet, wipes his eyes on the back of his hand.
I can only cry so much. Give your poor sister a break, huh?
Yanli laughs at him, and Wei Ying can hear the baby babble in the background and the sound of a door opening, and a deep, amused voice, and is happy, so happy that this is family, and that one day that cacophony will be his, too.
Give Ling our kisses from me, please, and I will call you on Wednesday, too. Don't let Ah Cheng rope you into anything.
I won't,
Tell your Lan Chan you both have to come and see us very soon.
I will. Love you, Zhe Zhe.
Love you, Aying.
Wei Ying hangs up the phone and turns to Lan Chan, who spreads his fingers wide and presses the plug deeper into Wei Ying. Wei Ying hisses.
Is that just what you're going to be like now, eh? Absolutely insatiable?
Lan Chan kisses his neck and then bites it, sucking diligently at his teeth marks until Wei Ying's knees go weak.
We have to make sure the baby takes.
Yes, very sensible, very sensible. Lan Chan, I have work tomorrow. Some of us are still... Lan Chan, fuck, baby.
Wei Ying darts out of Lan Chan's reach and takes two steps forward before Lan Chan has caught him around the waist, scooping him up in his arms.
What's yours is mine,
he says ruminatively, and throws Wei Ying down onto the bed. He pats Wei Ying's ass, where his skirt has flown up above his waist.
This is mine.
Wei Ying's thighs, bruised and tender.
These are mine.
He pats Wei Ying's feet, his waist, his neck, his lips, cursory, assessing.
Yes, all yours. What do you want to do with them?
I want to tie them up. I want to make sure nobody else can have them.
Wei Ying nods, frantic, spreads his legs, arches his back. Lan Chan presses down on the back of his neck, a warning, and then unexpectedly he laughs. Wei Ying looks down at him, perturbed.
Aya, Lan Chan, what is so funny about your poor wife wanting to be fucked?
Lan Chan squeezes his thighs, fond rather than punishing.
I love you, he says.
Wei Ying stares at him.
I am so happy. I want to lick my cum out of your pussy until you cry. And then I want to tell you that I love you as I fuck your perfect mouth.
Good. Wei Ying feels a little breathless. Good, good. Come on, get on with it, Lan Chan.
I do not think I will.
Lan Chan runs his hand back up Wei Ying's legs, teasing along his crease.
After all, we have the rest of our lives.
The end.